Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
All right. How say you? 866-901-ADAM. Already got some calls lined up. Open lines. That's how we're doing it. Good morning, Teresa Strauss.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian. School's in session. All right. Before I hop to the phones, let me tell you why I'm a miserable person. And then you tell me what you would do if you were me and how I should handle it, approach it. Vis-a-vis myself, but others around me. Should I discipline others around me? Should I just let it roll off of me? You know, there's two ways when there's a problem. You either go after the person you think is causing you the problem, or you put the pillow over your head, turn up the radio, and drown out the noise.
Right.
Your neighbor's playing a stereo too loud. You either go over there, knock on the door, or you call the cops and send them over, or you just turn on your little noise machine that you got at the Best Buy, and it makes the sound of the babbling brook a little bit louder, and you go to bed. Sometimes there's an argument for all those. I guess it depends how loud your neighbor's playing the stereo. Most of the time, you should turn up your noisemaker and go to bed. Sometimes it can't be ignored.
What happened?
My life is a series of disappointments. I cannot believe... See,
says the virtual millionaire.
It is because I grew up thinking when I was a child, I thought adults are adults and they're just adults. They, you know, they lift the toilet seat before they use the men's room for number one in the public thing. And they shut the door of the microwave that other people use. And when they slop coffee all over the countertop at the workplace, they wipe it down. I just thought that's what adults did. You guys, you know what I mean? When you were a kid, you thought adults were adults. Well, that's an adult.
I look back on some of my parents' friends now, and it's weird. Being an adult, you look back like, wow, those people had problems.
Losers. Yeah, I mean, you look back at your school teachers, and you're like, oh, my God, Mrs. Wolk. Oh, gee, dear Lord. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But when you're a kid, you just thought adults were adults. And then at a certain point, I realized, well, not all adults, because there's my family. These people have a lawn that's waist high. They're hammering welfare checks.
Yeah,
they're driving crappy cars. They're having a little trouble keeping the house together. They're having trouble keeping it together,
right,
as it were. But then other adults are fine and outside of my family. And then I got a little bit older and then I thought, all right, well, now I've entered the workplace and I'm cleaning carpets and I'm digging ditches and I'm hanging out with a lot of schlubs from the valley. And then I thought, well, maybe not all adults. Maybe it's the white-collar adults. Maybe as I move into the white-collar world and I get amongst the people with education, the literate people, the people who wear a suit to work. Now, these adults will surely be smarter than... Turns out the experts aren't experts. But back to my life. So I left yesterday, and I have a room in my house that's closed off from the rest of the house. It's like a separate room.
Masturbatorium?
That's spanktorium. And no, that's every room I'm in. That's how it goes. But depending on which way the wind is blowing. I have a room that's closed off, and it has a whole bunch of neon beer signs in it. And as I was leaving yesterday, of course, running late, I saw through the window of the room that all the beer signs had been on. All my old vintage beer signs, which I had restored, which were very expensive. And again, the speech I give to my wife and everyone else is, things have a certain life. A jet airplane engine is good for 5,000 hours of running, and then you have to take it apart because it's going to break down. The flat panel TV that's hanging on your wall, or the TV set, or the toaster oven, it's all good for a number. 3,000 pieces of toast, 10,000 hours of watching. Now, you could turn the TV set on and leave the room. That the meter would keep rolling on the TV set.
The expiration date gets closer.
Right. So my cry to everyone in my house is, look, considering that TV has 5,000 hours on it, let's not make 2,500 of them us on the phone upstairs while the TV downstairs is running. Let's enjoy all 5,000 hours, thus extending it from 5 years to 10 years.
Sure.
So I see every neon beer sign on my room is on. And I've had this happen time again. I say, who goes down here? The door's locked. who gets the key, goes down here, turns on the beer lights, and then the room is essentially dark. There's seven huge neon beer signs.
Do they turn on individually?
No, there's one switch by the front door, okay, right next to five other switches, because you turn switch, and you turn on all the lights, and then the last switch, you turn on the beer sign. The room glows. It pulsates with neon, blue and red neon light, and it's a dark room.
This is the bar you're talking about.
Right. But people go, nah, sorry, man. I didn't see it. And I go, but you were standing at the front door, and the room is dark, and all the lights are on, and if you flip one more switch, you're all going to go off. Yeah, man. I got five of them, but I didn't get the last one. All right, that's my life. And I think to myself, is that okay with you? It's not okay with me, obviously, but what about you? See, you just blow in and out of my life and screw with me a little bit. You go everywhere. Hmm. You're taking that brain everywhere. How about the part where you go, wow, that's lame, that's stupid? How about the part where you punish yourself instead of the part where you go, here's what happened. I didn't hit the last one, so what are you going to do? No one's perfect. So, here's why my day was ruined yesterday. So that's how I leave. I leave the house with all the neon beer lights on in my room. And I think, why? Who would do that? Why? Why are they even on? And of course, I know they've been on all night, just burning kilowatts that I'm paying for. So essentially, here's how it is. I'm paying to shorten the life of my neon, my old valuable vintage neon signs.
Oh, sweet irony.
And by the way, the 14 hours or 17 or 20 hours they were on yesterday since Ozzy kicked it on at 2 in the afternoon till now 5 a.m., that would be the equivalent of five parties I would throw in that room. Do you know what I'm saying? All right.
It really irks me when I leave my vintage neon beer signs on. Teresa, I'm sure you have the same.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Feel the same way?
Yeah.
Now, the one in the Lambo, well, that's hooked up to the battery, so when I turn the ignition off, it's got a kill switch for it. All right. So then I come home, and now, the night before, I have this conversation with my wife. I'm in a nut of the month club. Somebody got me nuts for every month. And I get a sack of nuts every month, which I love.
You're a fan of the month club gift.
I love it. And people get me, and I love nuts. And I got those sacks that they come in a big sack. There's like a pouch. It's large.
Yes.
And it has the resealable top. Mm. Now, what happened is as the month draws to an end.
What month is January?
The peanut beer nuts. The peanuts are at the bottom of the thing. And you know how some people, when they seal something, they'll almost like blow it up with air and then seal it, and it's kind of puffy, and then the nuts at the bottom get all rancid, or the chips or whatever's in the space dries out and gets bad.
Basically, so, defeating the purpose of the Ziploc bag or the closing bag.
Yeah, the reasons Henry Ziploc in 1949 pioneered the Ziploc is to keep air
out.
Away from your chips, your nuts, your crackers, your cookies, all the things. Air is the enemy.
Right.
So I, you know, come back and there'd be a big sort of poof. It almost like it was like a camping mattress. You know, it was just like blown up, you know.
It was as if somebody had purposely put air in and then sealed it.
Yeah. I know they didn't. They just sealed it, and I had to have this condescending speech with my wife where I said, you know, air is bad, vacuum is good, and if you're gonna seal stuff up, you have to kind of purge it a little bit, squeeze it a little bit, or roll it a little bit. Then, because I notice almost everything in my house is either not closed, every sack of chips, every sack of cookies or whatever is either not closed, or if it is closed, it's a big poof of air in it, and then it's closed. So squeeze it, sort of push it, purge it, and then close it. And I said, yeah, fine, I understand. So fine.
You can be funny without making fun of someone else.
The next thing I was complaining about is it's been nothing but rain out here in SoCal for the last 2 weeks. But it's cleared up.
Yeah.
And it's cleared up for the last, hasn't rained in 2-3 days. And it's not supposed to rain for another 4 or 5 days. And every mat at my house where you wipe your feet in and out of the house, some downstairs, wherever, soaked.
Sure.
Just soaked. And as you step in it, when you come in the house, it's like scrunch and water comes out, and then you track water across the house. So I say to my assistant, Jay, hey, Jay, take these mats, and there are 10 of them all over the house, take them and hang them out on the railing, put them in the sun, dry them out, and then I do the thing I always do. By the way, is that my gig? Is it my gig to go to work and make a bunch of money and build the houses and insure everything and pay for college and do all that kind of stuff and then come home and handle the mats? Is there anyone around here who's stepping on the scrunchy, wet mat? Ozzy coming in and out of the house 10 times a day, Lynette in and out of the house, the nanny in and out of the house, Jay in and out, everybody in and out. Is there anybody but me who would think, hey, these things are sopping wet. Can we just hang them out in the sun and dry them out? So I said, fine. And I said, Jay, this is now your job. Your job is to hang this out. Steven's on. He's on the phone. Oh. All right. I'm going to wrap this up in a minute and 30 seconds. Steve, hang on, buddy. So fine. There's my big speech. Then I go into the kitchen at noon, and there's my brand new big sack of cashews, wide open, looking like it's going to give birth.
Sitting on top of the mat.
Like a shaved vagina.
And you could see it through the light of the vintage beer.
Just wide open, just the cashew thing, just wide open at top. No one near it, no one getting anything out, just was open, looking at 3 inches of daylight in sure. there. And I turn to Olga, the nanny, and I say, Olga, did you leave this open? Because I went, she says, no, I didn't. And I said, Lynette, what did I tell you about? And she said, I didn't leave it open. And I said, Jay, I'm not mad. And he said, I didn't leave it open. And I said, Ozzy, what's going on with it? And he said, I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay, none of you did it. I didn't do it. What? Who left this open? And he said, no. All right. I said, look, everyone, shut the thing and squeeze there. And they said, yeah, okay, we didn't do it. And I said, fine. And I said, I'm going upstairs. I'm taking a nap. And I went upstairs, and I took a nap, and I got up an hour and a half later in that sort of nappy haze.
Right.
And I was I walked down to the kitchen.
Great Jimi Hendrix song, by the way.
I walked down to the kitchen, and I saw the cashews wide open. Just staring at daylight, and there was like a music sting, like da-da. And then, I took a look to my right, and I saw the mat that Ozzy had moved to do some caulking work just sitting in the middle of the courtyard, askewed with water dripping off it. And I just looked at my wife, and I said, are you trying to get me to kill myself? What do you want me to do?
That's a possibility.
I was about to
do
say,
you want me to kill myself? Because I will kill myself. Is this part of the plan? Is there some huge insurance thing that does? Is this the deal you're going to guess? And then I ran outside and I grabbed the mat and I chucked it as far as I could toward the neighbor's house. And then I came back in and my wife's like, you're a maniac. You know, what's wrong with you? Why are you so angry? And I said, I don't even feel like an angry person. I feel like I'm being effed with. So what is it? Who is it? Is it me? Do I expect way too much from people? All right, let's talk.
I should fire you and burn down your friggin' house.
Steve Zahn's on the phone. Steve Zahn.
That was insane.
Steve, you know what? You feel me, right, Steve?
I get it, but that's what Budweiser's for.
You're saying I just drown myself in booze.
Yeah, I just go for the fridge. Let it slide.
But you know, Steve, and I don't know if you feel this way too. Are you a parent, Steve?
Yeah, I got two kids.
Okay, perfect. Do you ever feel like you want to go on strike? Like you just want to ignore your alarm one morning when you have an early call and get up about 8:30 and when your wife or your kids or someone says, hey man, why didn't you go to work? And you went, oh man.
I didn't get to it.
Man. Oh, you do?
I'm not working.
I should hang out with
you. I'm at my home right now. I'm like semi-retired. I'm not working.
Steve, let's talk about Strange Wilderness. And by the way, you know, Steve Zahn is one of those guys, one of the actors who I would say you probably recognize the name, but if you saw a quarter of his face for a tenth of a second, you'd go, that's Steve Zahn, that dude.
He's one of the ultimate that guys.
Yes. Yeah. Do you get a lot of that, Steve?
Yeah, that's how I want to keep it.
Oh, do you like it that way?
Yeah, I do, man. I want to be the guy, you know, when I die and they put my picture up at the awards thing and they go, he's dead. People go, oh, that guy. What's his name? I don't know, man. He's a man, that guy.
He was in, that movie.
Damn.
That guy.
Then you can keep mixing it up. If people know too much about you, then it kind of is,
right.
Victory to the whole point, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you don't want to be some Brad Pitt with some guy going through your garbage, finding your Budweiser bottles.
No.
Yeah, Steve, for my money, one of your funniest and best roles was That Thing You Do. Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that was back in the beginning.
Movie. Yeah, I did enjoy you in that. What did you play? Did you play the bass in that?
I played the lead guitar.
Ah, yes, that's
Tom Hanks
right.
directed, right?
Yep.
That must have been a nerve-wracking audition.
Yeah, it was. He was great, though. I did a reading of it, and I didn't think it was even an audition. And then I got home, and like 2 days later, he called my house. I was more freaked out that he called my apartment.
Yeah, it is weird.
Wow, that was weird.
And it's also, I mean, I've always said, I've had a couple celebrities call me, and I say the rule is you can tell it is the celebrity because they don't sound that much like the celebrity. They sound like the celebrity on a Quaalude minus the catchphrases.
Yeah, exactly.
If some guy calls you and says he's Donald Trump and says, I thought I'd fire a call off to you, it's not Donald Trump.
Right.
They don't use any of their phrases. So how was Hanks? Cool guy?
Yeah, no, he was awesome.
And did he write the song? Because I hate to admit it, but I found it very catchy.
He wrote the movie. He wrote half the music for it. The song was written by some other dudes, but he did a couple of the tunes in it. Yeah, he was all in on that one.
And and we'll talk about Strange Wilderness in 1 second, but Steve Zahn, let's talk about the journey. You were born in Minnesota.
Born in Minnesota, and then I dropped out of college, started doing theater, moved to Boston, went to school, moved to New York, did theater for like, I don't know, 3 years, and then my first film was Reality Bites.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just started doing film, and then that was in 93, and here we are.
Did you have a plan? I'm very curious. Absolutely what not. When you were 13, did you have a plan?
No.
I like that.
No, I had no plan, and I still don't. I mean, I still just I'm looking for the next gig, and you know, it's the same as it was 10 years ago. I mean, it doesn't get any easier. It's kind of depressing.
Well, but Steve, a lot of guys that are acting in between gigs or writing a screenplay or looking to get into directing. Are you looking to spread your wings?
No.
Like that too.
No, I'm taking care of horses and kids. I live on a farm in Kentucky. When I'm not working, I hang out and go to drive to gymnastics.
What a game. So you have your horses in gymnastics?
Yeah, it's a good variety.
So you can go acting you can go out for 3 months, make a paycheck, be away, and then come home and hang out, right?
Yeah, and I find acting really, you know, hard. So, like, say I'm a writer and producer and director and all. I mean, I'm an actor. That's what I do.
Well, you're acting along with Jonah Hill from Superbad, who's caught on fire over the last year. Alan Covert, who you'd recognize from a lot of the Sandler movies, especially right. Justin Long, who you know from Die Harder or Die with a Vengeance or Die Whatever.
And he's either the Mac or the PC guy.
He's the Mac guy. Jeff Garlin,
yep.
Of course, you know, from Curb Your Enthusiasm. And Ernest Borgnine, who you know from The Poseidon Adventure and
Wild Bunch.
And then what's the movie he got nominated for in the 50s?
One name.
Can't think of the name.
Can't remember.
Yeah, he was nominated for Academy Award. I think he won an Academy Award.
Yeah, no, he's an Academy Award winner.
In the 50s, yeah.
Yeah, and doing this movie, Ernest Borgnine on set was just a trip. I mean, like, my God, this is the most insane comedy I've ever done with a bunch of, like, sharp guys. Jonah Hill, Justin Long, those guys are sharp, man.
Yeah.
Coming up with it. And he was right in there. And I was like, man, when I'm 88, that's what I want to be right there.
Yeah, you don't want to look like that, but you definitely want to sound like that. What the hell? It was a movie called, like, Herman or something. It's just it's an Academy Award-winning movie. I can't believe I can't think of the name of it. So, Stephen, the movie's coming out this Friday.
Yeah.
Little quick synopsis of it.
Dude, okay. I have a wilderness show I inherited from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucks, but we don't really know that. We're not aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's offensive and horrible.
Right.
We're going to get canned unless we come up with a really good show. And one of my dad's old buddies knows where Bigfoot lives in South America.
Mm-hmm.
So we go after Bigfoot.
Did you actually find the Bigfoot, or am I ruining the ending?
No, we find Bigfoot.
So that is this Friday. And are you in Kentucky right now, Steve?
Yeah.
Will you ever get out to L.A.?
Yeah. All right. I get out there quite a bit.
Well, when next time we come out here, I'll buy you a bud, and I'll tell you how tortured I am. Marty is the name of the movie.
Yes, Marty.
I was saying Lenny. It's great how my mind works. Hey, Steve Zahn, Strange Wilderness is the name of the movie, out this Friday. Good speaking to you, and I enjoy your life choices.
Right on. Thanks.
Good
right
time,
on.
Steve. I like a guy who isn't overly ambitious, a guy who says, look, I'm going to enjoy my life on my horse farm in Kentucky. I'll go out and work a few months out of the year, and I'll come back hang with my kids. All right, we need to take a break. Dan on line one says he saw the trailer for my movie.
It's on YouTube now.
Oh, yeah. The folks that put it up said you can go to MySpace. You can go to the Hammer the Movie. It's featured in the MySpace featured movie trailers, whatever. And check that out. So that's at MySpace. I'll talk to you, but I also want to know, am I nuts? Am I asking too much? Am I too angry? What's wrong?
Well,
with
it
me?
Sounds very frustrating. And I don't know whether you should just accept things as they are with the open cashews and the lights on, or if there's anything you can do to take arms against the sea of troubles coming towards you.
I do feel, sadly, the only thing people respond to oftentimes is discipline.
Yeah.
Sadly.
I know.
I've said this many times where I said to someone, hey, man, I asked you to do this, and then they go, yeah, I forgot. And I go, what if I said I'll give you $10,000 to do it? Do you think you would have pulled it off? And they go, absolutely. And I go, well, there you go.
Maybe you need to better incentivize your family.
Or if I said I would cane you if you didn't.
Right, the carrot or the stick.
That's what I don't like, by the way. I don't like the fact that I know everyone is capable of everything if you just said, look, if you had an employee and you said, I will give you a $5,000 bonus at the end of every month that you're not late. Well, then that guy would never be late.
Sure. I had an editor that would have you look over the newspaper page before it went out, and he'd say a dollar for every error you find.
Right. We'll take a quick break. I'll talk to you next.
Hey, this is the Adam Carolla Show. And if you think your boss is annoying, well, check this guy out. Program Director Jack Silver.
Check, check, check. Hail to the yeah, peeps. Today, from the new movie Strange Wilderness, actor Steve Zahn, the star of Spamalot and the first ever winner of Dancing with the Stars, John O'Hurley, comedian Don Glass, a recap of last night's American Idol, a new reenactment with T and the Ace Man, and NASCAR driver Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch. Busch. More like Kurt Vagina. Nice one, Jackman. Still got it. Dawson, up top. Don't leave me hanging, bro.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Well, we're talking to you. The one guy I wanted to talk to who saw the trailer for my movie, The Hammer, which is on myspace.com/TheHammerMovie. It's the Hammer movie. That's where you do it?
That's what it said on the internet.
Yeah, it's in the preview part. You can go check out the full trailer for the movie. The one guy I wanted to talk to dropped off. Everyone else is still on. All right, so let's see. Let's talk to... I want to talk to Kevin. I brought up nuclear power yesterday. A couple of weeks ago when I was on a flight coming home from Arizona and I was reading about an electric car, and I've been reading more and more. And to me, the hybrid thing, not that appealing. It sounds cool, and it's a great, you know, it's a mileage perk and all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't sound like a breakthrough. You still have to go to the pump. You're still getting mileage of some cars that have gotten really good mileage over the last 25 or 30 years. Doesn't sound great. I want a car I can just go home and plug in. I want to avoid the gas station altogether. And to me, a fully electric car, and we're just on the brink of having batteries that'll realize that dream, and cheap, abundant electricity equals happy Adam. Kevin?
Hey, morning. Good morning, Teresa. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
So I was talking about building nuclear power plants, and again, good enough for France, people. Good enough for even the harshest skeptic here.
Kevin, what say you?
Well, first of all, Adam, you've never been more right. But I'd like to put a finer point on a couple of facts here. First of all, France is using our technology, on which, of course, they've improved a bit. But we need to look no further than our national laboratories, whether it's Oak Ridge or Lawrence Livermore, for the technology that we need. And it's so frustrating because we have these answers. How is history going to look back on us and say, look, you guys had all this wonderful technology. You didn't use it. Instead, you're using coal. And yeah, coal-fired power plants. Yes, Adam, you're absolutely right. I didn't even think about it. Coal miners die mining for coal. But what are we constantly talking about? We're talking about the environment. We're talking about energy. What is the first premise of the anti-nuclear folks? It's the radiation. Well, coal, if you recall your Modern Marvels episode, is a composite material. It contains stuff like uranium, thorium, barium, which doesn't burn cleanly. Just touch it. You know it's the dirtiest stuff on Earth.
Yeah. Right? Well, look, Kevin, it's one of these things.
This is damn exciting.
We got to get back in the cooch business, people.
I know I've been beating up the left a lot lately, but it is one of my problems with the pie in the sky thing, which is people just announcing, hey, no nukes. Nuclear is evil. Okay, do you have some solar solution that I'm not aware of, or some wind-driven solution, or some tidal solution? No, we're going to burn coal. Okay, well, that's worse than this. Yeah, no, that's evil. Right, but you have no alternative. No, I'm not a scientist. I'm just chaining myself to a bulldozer saying this is evil. Right, I agree. There's a lot of things that aren't perfect. As a matter of fact, I don't know any real perfect solutions. Your job isn't to sit around and point at my idea and say it's not perfect. Your job is to come up with a better one, even if it's marginally better than what I got, and we'll use that.
Kevin sounds smart. I like the sound of him.
I like him too. Kevin?
Yes, sir.
So how long do you reckon, and see, now the problem is we're way behind because we haven't built a nuclear power plant in this country in 30 years.
Absolutely right. But there's good news. I don't know if you caught it. I think it slipped through the cracks on the newscast there. But we have two people have finally stepped up and filed permits. The first two permits for nuclear power plants were filed the end of last year. Adam, you know better than anybody. You want to put up a flagpole. You're not going to do it without an environmental impact report to be totally sure that you're not going to affect the spotted inchworm.
Right.
So, I mean, everybody's got their hand out. These
Nazis.
They are going to get their pockets full.
Wow. All right. Look, I grew up with one of these people. Her name is my mom. And she worried about everything. She had a lot of plans. And her friends in the 70s had a lot of very misguided plans about the future. Now, ironically, the one thing my mom missed, and all the other sort of eco-freakos, all the people with the doom and gloom about the nuclear this and about that, they were off. The TV caused cancer. You shouldn't sit too close to the TV set. Microwaves? Who knows how that's scrambling your brain? That all kinds of conspiracy theories about the man and about technology. You want to know the one thing they missed that actually turned out to be bad?
What?
The sun. Nobody said, don't go in the sun. As a matter of fact, everyone had their shirt off with no sunscreen.
Right.
They didn't complain about the sun. You want to know why they didn't complain about the sun?
Because the man doesn't control it?
Exxon didn't control it.
Oh,
right.
Sweet irony.
So here's, it's really paranoia. It's pot-fueled paranoia is basically what it is, and narcissism. Why narcissism? Well, when you think people are out to get you, that's paranoia, but it's also narcissism.
It's all about you.
It suggests that they even know who you are.
Right.
And believe me, you ain't exactly Ralph Nader flipping cars in a parking lot, and you're not exactly Norma Rae blowing the whistle on the power plant. You're just some schlub who's camped out in a crappy house in the valley hammering welfare checks. They don't know who you are. As a matter of fact, they do know who you are because they're giving you welfare checks. That's about it. You're just a little piece of gum on their boot.
Right.
They're not out to stop you, but it's a kind of a narcissism. The sun, by the way, and all the conversations about all the things that cause cancer, about all the dyes and all the food and all the carcinogens
asbestos.
And all the asbestos and all the things that were going to kill you, all the things that were going to cause cancer. You know what never came up? The sun.
Probably there were a lot of no nukes rallies right out there in the sunshine.
Everyone had their shirt off, and now they all have melanomas all over themselves. But the sun, no. And again, A, they didn't know about it, but B, the man, they were focused on what the man was trying to do. Well, let me tell you about the man. The man screws up, and the man wants profit, and the man hurts people sometimes in its quest, his quest to make profit, but the man knows this. You kill people along the way, you make less profit. You get lawsuits, you get bad reputations, stuff gets pulled off the shelves. There's nothing in it for the man to be evil. Profit, good. Evil, no. You guys think the man is evil. No, no. The man wants money, and hurting you does not help him get money in his coffers.
It might be incidental, like with the cigarette industry.
It happens. There's collateral damage on occasion, but generally, they want to build nuclear power plants, they want to sell the energy to you, and they want nobody to die because they don't want their plant to be shut down.
Right. You know what's going to make you feel better? Gidget on line 6 is calling from Vegas, and she agrees with you about your mats and lights.
Gidget?
Adam, good morning.
Please tell me I'm not nuts.
Oh, Adam, let me tell you, you're not nuts. If you're nuts, I'm nuts.
Yes, and then why can't we seal my nuts so they don't go stale? Do you feel like you're just fighting a never-ending battle at your house?
Never-ending.
Shut the lights. And by the way, as I've said once, and I'll say it again, this is how I would like to run the country. Because I have a house filled with 4 or 5 good, honest, hardworking, intelligent people who can't shut lights off. Why? They don't pay for the lights. And thinking about things you don't pay for is not going to work with most Americans.
You know, Adam, it just seems so disrespectful to me.
Gidget, do you pay the bills in your house?
I do pay the bills in my home.
I've said this. It's the same thing I say about SUVs. You know, people say, hey, let's get out of the Denalis. Let's get out of the Escalades. You don't need a big SUV. Yes, I do. As long as gas is $2.84 a gallon, I do. All you got to do is raise it to $4. Pow. Everyone leaves the SUV at home. And as a matter of fact, they leave it on the dealer of the car lot. They leave it on their parking lot because they don't even buy it anymore.
Now, Gidget, should Adam start fining the people in his home for leaving
Absolutely.
On the lights?
Absolutely.
How much?
You know, I fine my children in the summertime in Vegas 50 cents in a jar every time they say the word, it's hot.
Now, what if they say in a Paris Hilton-esque way?
Doesn't count.
You know what I mean? Like, what if mommy comes out in a cocktail dress and says, I'm going out on a date tonight, and your daughter says, it's hot, mommy.
That's hot.
I'm sorry, there's the jar.
Still has to pay the fiddler.
In the summertime, for those 3 months, you can't say the word, it's hot. So I suggest a jar.
So I put a jar out, and by the way, it gets filled up with nickels, dimes, and quarters, and then one morning I come down and it's empty, and nobody knows, and the lid's off.
And then it's, ironically, I think it would be your coins and dollars going into the jar.
I have had an ass full of people saying I did the best I could or I forgot.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
I will tell you exactly how the human mind works. I had a friend staying at a guest house I had, the party house, back when I used to have the party house. And the party house had a big swimming pool in the back, big square, almost not quite Olympic size, but a very large old valley house swimming pool. He stayed the house for months. He, at some point, turned the pool light on and never turned it off. The kitchen has a big bay window, and when you sit at the sink to rinse your dishes or do whatever you're doing, you're staring at the pool. I came over one night. I hadn't been there in a number of weeks, and I came over and walked in at night and looked right out the window, and there were many of them that faced the backyard and saw the pool glowing. And I said, Daniel, the pool light's on. And he said, yeah, I didn't. It is? And I said, yeah, well, can't you see the pool's glowing? Oh, yeah, I guess it is. Well, shut it. You're wasting my kilowatts. Okay, yeah, I didn't notice. And I thought, didn't notice? Of course you notice. The pool is glowing like the mothership. You're not paying. And thus, your brain shuts off. You see, your brain is finely tuned when it comes to S you're paying for and stuff you're not paying. Didn't notice. When you get your car washed and you pick up your car from the thing, you'll walk right up to the front fender and go, hey, Poncho? Yeah, looks, and you'll grab the sleeve of your jacket and you'll go, let me get that. Yeah, you miss a spot there and you miss it. Think about what you notice. Think about how tuned in you are to your own crap. And then think about how you are with other people's money and other people's crap. Now, the definition of maturity, You treat other people's crap the way you treat your crap. Well, we don't have a society that has any of those people in it, and thus we need rules, laws, and punishments.
You're blowing my mind right now because on one hand, you're the guy that's yelling at your friend about burnt kilowatts in your home over the light. On the other hand, you're the guy that goes out to dinner with your buddies and says, you pay me less, I'll happily cover the difference just so I can have the cash I could get for free at the ATM. You're blowing my mind right now. I can't get my mind around this.
Money-wise.
Yes.
One.
Well, I understand the waste and effort principle. That's the only part that makes sense.
Here's the thing. I don't like waste. I'm a generous guy that doesn't like waste. If somebody said, every time I leave a bathroom light on or beer sign on or something undone or the heat on and the door open, those profits will go to the kids in Darfur, I would say open the doors and turn the heat on. I don't care. It's not about the money.
Right.
I love taking people out to dinner. It's not about that. It's the waste. It's the idea that all we do is talk about the greenhouse and the coal burning plants and this, that, and the other, and there's a whole bunch of lights on right now and a whole bunch of rooms none of us are in.
I know also that you love providing for your family, but here's an idea, because there was a behavioral psychologist named B.F. Skinner, and he studied rewards. And it turns out the carrot is actually more effective than the stick.
Yes.
So what if you said, if a month goes by and there are no lights left on, everyone's going to Mexico?
Hold on.
Back to Mexico.
Which part of Mexico?
Okay,
that could be punishment
Hawaii.
Or reward, depending on where you're going.
Everybody gets a sack of nuts.
All right. I toy with that on occasion, and then, you know, people say, well, what you need to do is you need to soften your tone, and you need to ask very nicely for the people to shut the nuts, and I go, oh, and then I go, what? I need to tell the adults that I pay for to ask them nicely to shut the goddamn nut container and shut the effing door when the heat's on, idiots. Well, people go, oh, you're not going to get anywhere. And I go, I'm not trying to train aquatic life here. I don't feel like
throw a fish out.
I don't want a bucket full of fish. I want to tell the stupid dolphin to shut the stupid door.
You know what's weird, though? When there's one person in the household that's very vigilant and very neat, I think other people's natural ability to take care of things erodes.
It atrophies.
Yeah.
That's right. Because, you know, that's the other thing that pisses me off. I yell at everyone, you know I'll take care
right.
of it. You know I'll get to it.
You're going to notice the mats. They know you will.
Right. I'll take it. I'll take care of it. All right. Good times. I'm in hell. We need to take ourselves a break. I want to talk to one more person. Let's see. Ever think of switching to hydrogen? Use toilet paper in the trash? What? Huh? Oh. Quick. What name is that?
Charisse?
Hi, Adam.
What's happening, Charisse?
Good morning. I've been listening since day one. I'm a huge fan.
Thanks, Charisse.
And Teresa, I love you. I aspire to be as quick-witted as you someday.
Oh, thank you.
Hit yourself in the head with a frying pan and you can join her.
That's effective.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, I have something that you must complain about, please.
Go ahead.
Okay, so have you ever been to an establishment where there's a large concentration of Hispanic patrons?
Yes, called Los Angeles. I'm in it now.
It's open 24/7.
That's right, come on down.
And gone to the restroom and noticed that they don't flush their used toilet paper.
I know culturally there's problems in other countries with the plumbing, and thus they'll take the stuff and they'll put it in the waste paper can instead
right.
of in the toilet or
right.
the leave. Yes, there are all kinds of sort of third world. Right. I feel like there should be a big sign at the airport that says, we have a sewer system here and it works just fine. Feel free to flush your S paper. Feel free not to wipe your ass and then throw it in the communal basket that we all have to walk past and so on and so forth. Yeah, I do feel like there's a lot of ass. There should be an ass debriefing.
Yeah, right.
Everyone who comes into this country should learn about it. I agree, but way down on my list. All right, Charisse, we need to take ourselves a break. Comedian Todd Glass. What? Is coming in next. We'll talk to him on the Adam Carolla Show.
They have to grade the restaurants. If you go to a restaurant in the window, the health department, you have to put an A, a B, a C, or a D. Right? So I went to a restaurant the other day. It had a D in the window. And next to it, the owner of the restaurant wrote Alicious. That's f***ed up. You can't.
Now comedian Todd Glass is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you again, Todd.
Good to see you, Adam. That's a true story.
I've had many conversations about those letters in the windows where my wife sees a B or C and goes, I'm not eating in there. And I go, where I come from, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
I mean, that's a good grade.
And they always have an excuse. I've had it happen once or twice where it's an A all the time. They have a C. You know, I'll eat it. I won't eat at a C that's a constant C.
Right.
But I will eat at a place that gets an A all the time. Well, I don't say I will eat it. This happened that I ate there. They get an A all the time. They had a C. And they apologize. I'm like, all right, they're probably fixing it.
I don't mind the C that passes along.
What do you mean?
Well, you mean it's like there are strip clubs where it's $30 a lap dance and it's $9 for a mixed drink. And then there's the cheap ones on the bad side of town, which is, look, they're not claiming to be showgirls
over there.
But they pass along the savings.
The savings, yeah. Right.
Like my thing would be, look, it's C, but a steak is $2.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Come in, save your money, take your chances, and build up your immune system, by the way. Todd Glass, now you're going to be on Kimmel tonight.
Yeah, Kimmel tonight, and then I'm also working on this. I'll make it quick because I know plugs are not fun.
Yeah, go ahead.
This thing called Big Shot Live, and it's basically where people can upload their... It's like you don't have to go wait in line like American Idol. Any age is okay. You can upload your video, whether it's music or singing. And then every single day they fly someone out to L.A. and they get an opportunity here in L.A. that they would have never gotten before.
Well, we're getting to the point where it's unnecessary to take a headshot and go stand in line and then go do a scene from Annie Get Your Gun. You can just videotape yourself doing a stand-up routine or singing a song or doing anything, put it up there, and have the world vote on it.
Yeah,
Is this all comedy or
it's
is
everything.
It anything?
Singing, dancing, and then me, Eddie Pepitone, and Brian Husky sort of are the liaisons or manage them in the show. We're the managers, so it's sort of like a little sitcom. Mm-hmm. When they move out here, we go pick them up at the airport, and we there's little webisodes of this whole interaction. So this kid from Iowa wins. Every single day they fly people out, and then me, Eddie, or Brian pick them up. We bring them back to our offices within the show. So it's a little webisode. But it's real. I mean, for these people, what they get is real. Just, you know, I don't know how good. Mike August is right now in his car biting his lip because I'm so crappy at explaining this.
Glass, Husky, and Pepitone sounds like a horrible law firm. You know what I mean? Who's representing you in the civil action? Glass, Husky, and Pepitone?
What kind of record do they have?
Prison record?
I heard it.
Wins.
Oh, well, actually, Pepitone has a wing-eating record that he set in Buffalo in the mid-70s.
How about Glass? Anything?
Hello, Glass, Husky, and Pepitone.
But I heard this thing the other day, and it was for a law firm. I know it's just their ad, but it was so dumb. It goes, at Becker and Becker, we can't reverse your injuries, but we sure can get you a good settlement. I'm thinking, like, anybody's calling in, like, honey, I'm dialing Becker and Becker. Let's see if we can get a good settlement. And the wife's in the background. Why don't you ask them if they can reverse the injury? I'm not asking them if they can reverse the injuries. What do you want more? Why would it kill you to ask them? Maybe they could reverse the injuries and the whole thing would have never happened.
I feel there's a lot of that where people go, look, I don't have a crystal ball, okay? I do have some knowledge of the market and can prognosticate. I love that. Oh, really? You're fired. I only hired you because they said you were a guy with a crystal ball who could see into the future.
That's like Dom Irrera has a funny joke where he goes, his uncle always gives him medical advice. Dom Irrera, I'm being very clear with that. And he goes, Dom, I'm no doctor. But he goes, really, you're not a doctor? I thought you were. I thought that tile setting business you had on the side was just a hobby.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I don't have a crystal ball. Todd Glass is in studio. I waxed on too long, so we need to take a break and catch up on time. But good news.
Good news?
T is going to do the news, and Todd is going to hang in and crack wise. And yes, Todd, you were going to say?
No, we were talking about your recycling, but we might have run out of time. I had a...
Oh, well, we'll get to it.
Yeah,
we'll
I love what you did. I love... Simple idea, but I would have never thought of it.
My Recyclarola?
Well, they were telling me outside before I came in. We were talking. I said, is Adam good at recycling? Because I had a story. They go, oh, he actually invented this thing.
Well, I'll tell you how to install your own Recyclarola. T will do the news. Todd Glass will hang in. And we'll do it all next.
Coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show, we'll find out which blowhard celebrities Adam's pterodactyl is going to drop into the volcano. We'll recap last night's American Idol.
You got to be in it to win it at this point, doll.
Talk with Seinfeld's Jay Peterman, a.k.a. John O'Hurley.
All is said and done. All was said
been done.
And we'll hang out with Miller Lite Racing's Kurt Busch.
Kurt Busch takes the win at Pocono Raceway.
Teresa Strasser delivers the news.
God is a liar and it's okay to be gay.
And we'll take your phone calls at 866-901-ADAM.
That was insane.
Streaming at AdamCarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
I'm going to Thailand to get my dong cut off.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
That was partially out of context. Todd Glass is in studio. Big Shot Live, name of his latest venture. BigShotLive.com is where you go. And if you just go there, that'll tell you everything you need to know.
If you go to the website, it explains everything.
Teresa Strasser.
Yes.
Now, we're going to talk Recycle-A-Roll in a couple of minutes, but first, the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Democrat John Edwards has just dropped out of the presidential race, ending a scrappy underdog bid. In the end, he just could not catch up with his rivals. And the former senator is expected to make an announcement out of New Orleans today at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
How old is McCain's wife? Because I'm seeing her everywhere now, and she looks like she's in her early 40s. Now, I'm sure she's been put together, and maybe she's older, but either way, he's got 25 years on her if he has a week, right?
Well, all the talk was about Kucinich's hot wife.
Right.
You're saying McCain's got a hot wife. He's 71, I think.
Really?
He's 71, but it's not 71. You know, there's 71. My dad is 74 or 75, and he's barely been outdoors. He is like, I always say this about my dad. He's like a crappy car that has very low mileage on it. It's not a...
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he's a K-car or celebrity or a Vega.
A Corolla?
But he's cherry. Yeah, he's mint. He's a mint. Corolla's a little too durable, but he's a bad car that's in great condition. You know, every once in a while you go, wow, look at that piece of ass from the 70s, but it's 1,800 miles on it. It looks brand new.
Like a Pacer or something.
McCain is a good car that's had the crap kicked out of it. A lot of hard miles. You know what I mean? Lots. Anytime you have to eject more than twice from an airplane, that means you've had a tough life.
Well, he had a good day yesterday when he won the Republican primary in Florida, taking 36% of the vote to Mitt Romney's 31%.
Let me say this. McCain has ejected out of two planes when they were flying, and then one plane when it was on the ground. You got to climb out of your plane and it's on fire and you haven't even started it yet, That's a bad flying record. He was on, I brought this up before, but it's a really interesting disaster. He was on an aircraft carrier in Vietnam called the Forestall, and he was in his A4, whatever he was going to take off on the carrier with, and he was just sitting in his plane getting ready, getting lined up, not even moving, just all parked up, waiting for his turn. And a guy gets into his plane and fires a missile into McCain's plane. So this guy gets in a plane, and while he's like climbing in a plane, puts his hand on the wrong button, and a sidewinder goes shooting ahead, and he actually gets shot down on the ground.
When is this?
This is in the 60s.
Oh, okay.
This is Vietnam.
I thought it was like yesterday.
No. This is in Iowa.
Stupid.
This is last week. So his plane gets hit while he's on the deck. And his plane catches on fire, so he has to crawl out of his plane and jump from the flames and do a shoulder roll and run for safety. Well, meanwhile, every other plane catches on fire on the deck, and not only are they all fueled up with thousands of gallons of fuel to take off, but the bombs start burning. And when the bombs start burning, the bombs start blowing up. So they have 2,000-pound bombs on all these planes, all completely loaded with jet fuel, and they all go up in flames. And then all the jet fuel starts leaking down as the planes explode to get to the lower decks. And then all the lower decks catch on fire. And then all the bombs and munitions in the lower decks catch on fire because they're using vintage World War II bombs that weren't made to sit in a fire without igniting. So you're on a deck trying to put out this fire, except for in the middle of the fire is a 2,000-pound cluster bomb, and it's going off.
Maybe he should be the president.
Yes, I'm saying it was one of the most horrific accidents ever. She's 53 years old, so...
He's 71. That is
a
gap.
Not as big a gap as I thought, though. All right, so he looks worse and she looks better.
Right, he's a little weathered.
That's right.
A little worse for wear.
All right.
Meanwhile, he gave a victory speech yesterday in which he gave some classy props to the other candidates.
And I want to thank my dear friend Rudy Giuliani.
easy to do that when you win.
Very. Who invested his heart and soul in this primary, and who conducted himself with all the qualities of the exceptional American leader he truly is. Thank you, Rudy. Thank you, Rudy, for all you have added to this race and for being an inspiration to me and millions of Americans.
Yeah, it's like that move when the fighter kicks the crap out of the other guy and he's all busted up and he's sitting in his corner and they stop the fight. And then the guy goes over and raises his hand while he's still sitting there busted up. That's one. Thanks, buddy.
It's easy.
Now my shoulder was dislocated, too, by the way. You've done that. Thank you.
Well, he may have had reason for the kind words to give Giuliani, because Giuliani is expected to formally withdraw from the race later today and endorse McCain.
Oh, jeez. I can't follow. By the way, as an adult, I'm embarrassed. I can follow almost none of this.
I know.
I don't understand. They drop out and then somebody else.
I don't understand the primaries. I don't understand anything.
You really don't? I thought you would be like...
No. You know what's going to happen to me 16 years from now? My twins are a year and a half. Although I've been saying that for over 2 years, so maybe they're older now. But they're a year and a half, and 16 years from now, one of them's going to come up to me and go, Dad, explain the electoral college thing. I'm going to go, hey, what was that? And I'm going to point another direction. I'm going to shoulder roll, and I'm just going to sprint, because Daddy will have no. It's a college where they train people to elect. I don't.
I say I can't even have kids because of things like that. That I'm worried. Like, I'm scared of the dark, and I just. Image my dad was never scared of the dark. He didn't see.
Right.
I'm petrified of the dark. So I think I can't have kids because, like, you can't be scared of the dark. One day my kid's going to be like, you know, hey, somebody's outside, go check. I'm like, why don't you check? I'll stay in the house.
Yeah, as a 40-something-year-old male, there's no way you feel like half the adult your dad's friends were when they were 40-something.
You know what? I think about that all the time. I left a funny message on my brother's machine the other day. Like, we were 19. I call up my brother. My brother's about 39. Uh-huh. And at the end of it, I go, now, did Uncle Harvey ever leave daddy messages like that?
Right.
My dad didn't leave funny messages. He was an adult.
These guys were, like, smoking unfiltered cigarettes and wearing the Fred McMurray hats. And when they'd go super casual, they would dress like the guy from Green Acres. They put a sweater on. They put a cardigan with a tie under it. That was casual. Casual for me is
boner
and sweatpants.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no way you saw when your dad's friends wearing flip-flops and cargo shorts and a UFC t-shirt in his 40s.
There were people that cut their lawn in a tie.
Yes, yeah. Mowing their
lawn. That's why when people go, I don't even want to get started on the deeper level that when people always go, oh, it used to be what it used to be.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, people just go, back then it was great. I want to take anybody who says, let's go back to the way things used to be, and put them in a house. Make it like a woman that says it, a black person, handicapped. What? No one did it. What was so great about them? We hit handicapped people. We hit retarded people.
Right.
If a woman was raped, the family didn't go to counseling. They just never talked about it.
Right.
If your son was gay, if an alcoholic, everything was, and people, let's go back to that. Really?
Yeah. Well, the people that want to go back are white, straight guys.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's who it's good for.
And confined to a wheelchair.
Yeah, everything.
White rapists. Because
they had it so good.
You know what? That is actually so true. A white rapist. God, he must miss that.
Oh, he longs for the salad days.
Yeah, yes, he can roam free.
When he do that move where you were just standing and you were crying and you felt filthy and I threw your dress at you and go, you think anyone's going to believe a whore? And I lit up a cigarette.
And then you ordered dinner from the same person you just raped.
That's right. I'm like, I'll have some brisket and brandy for breakfast. Who's got another unfiltered Marlboro over here? Put the dress on, you filthy whore.
Then just you mow the lawn in your tub.
Go ahead. Tell everyone to laugh at you. I'll call you a whore.
Just because it was in the past. I know. I've heard people say this. It makes me want to chew my lips off. They go, I've heard comedians even. I don't care if it's a joke. It's not funny. They go, yeah, back then used to be able to drink and drive. That wasn't good, moron.
Hold on. You put your dress on. I'm going to put a tie on and mow the lawn. I know. Everyone looked like Eddie Albert from Green Acres.
I'm glad you mentioned drinking and driving, Todd Glass. Because there's a story in the news about that.
Mm, really?
It's an amazing 911 call. I don't know if you enjoy 911
calls. Wait, you know the other thing? You could rape a chick and it was good for her. She needed a good one.
Right.
Like you're some sort of doctor, Dr. Penis.
It's her medicine.
Yeah.
The thing
she
is,
needed
like,
it.
It sounds silly, but it's true. I mean, that sounds like such a cliche thing to say, but that back then it was like, people would say, really?
And plus, you could get busted up or sick or AIDS or something. Someone going, have a shot of brandy. That'll straighten you up. Here's a cigarette. Some guy'd be lying there with a compound fracture. You want some booze and a butt? Here's a cigarette. I'll smoke and blow it in your face. You drink the brandy. It was a simpler time.
It was. By the way, yeah, brandy was the anesthesia for everything, including your dentistry.
That's right.
Have a pop.
Also, if people had a bad day, they poured themselves a drink.
Yeah, you can just hear it clinking into the glass. I don't like drinking, but I love the sound of it pouring with the ice cubes. Back then, they'd stir it up.
I like the idea, and this is something, if you go back and watch almost any TV show from the 60s or even early 70s, you'll see the mobile bar.
Yes.
That little bar, metal, they had a little wrought iron bar that was painted gold with the wheels on it. Yeah, and the thing that was funny... Now, you heard me complaining about my life. I come home, the kids are hanging from the chandelier, the doors are open, there's crap spilled everywhere. These guys came home from work. They were gone out of the house for 10 hours. They walk right in the front door, they walk right for the ice bucket.
Mm-hmm.
They throw the lid off, they grab the tongs, and they toss themselves a couple of ice because they're going to make a highball. Who's filling the ice bucket?
Yeah, who did that?
Somebody on a weekday, in the middle of the week, in the middle of the day, thought to fill their ice bucket to the point where he didn't open it up. There wasn't a puddle of water in there. There were a whole pile of fresh ice cubes sitting in there. That's when a guy was a guy. All right, sorry, T. Where were we?
Well, Patricia Dykstra.
By the way, I love 911 calls.
Thank you.
And high-speed chases.
They're
I cannot leave the house.
Right. I know. It's riveting. Well, this woman, she liked the sound of a six-pack opening. Patricia Dykstra from Wisconsin. Early on Sunday, at around 12:29 a.m., Patricia was with her boyfriend. She had had a few drinks, a six-pack, to be exact. She called 911 from her truck to complain that her boyfriend said she was too drunk to drive. Mm-hmm. Then she hung up, and the 911 operator called her back. So Patricia answered the phone, and here's what happened.
I try not for it to follow me home because somebody seems to think I can't drive home straight.
Okay, why is that?
Oh, he seems to think I'm too intoxicated to drive.
Okay, and so you called 911 or he called 911?
Well, he wanted me to call 911 because he thinks I'm too drunk to drive.
And he's riding in the car with you?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Are you
driving now or where
yes,
are you?
Yes, I am.
That, by the way, while she's on the phone, she's doing the frantic hand signaling to the person, the cop. She's doing the steering, and then it's pointing. Go.
The 911 person.
Yeah. Go bust. Yeah,
miming the sipping and the driving.
Yeah, she does the thing where she takes a swig, and then her eyes roll back and her tongue.
Well, the 911 call continues.
Oh, boy.
Have you had too much to drink tonight that you shouldn't be driving?
I don't think so, ma'am.
Okay. Then you're almost home, you said?
Yes, I am.
So where do you live at?
Hot Pike.
Okay, where are you now?
It's about the corner of C&P.
Okay. What kind of vehicle are you in?
Pickup truck, 2002, tan.
What's your name, ma'am?
Pat Dykstra.
Pat? Okay. Well, I can certainly let you go, Pat. I don't want to cause you to...
I would appreciate that because I don't like driving on the phone.
Oh, she's very responsible.
Well, when she got home, the police were waiting. She blew a .14 on the breathalyzer, over the legal limit, arrested for drunk driving.
Good. Hope she gets raped.
Right. Like, it's the 50s.
It's good for her.
Although, maybe it's good for society, but if I'm the boyfriend, I'm pissed. Like, we were in the driveway, and there was a cruiser waiting for us because you picked up the blower and gave the man the heads up. We were both loaded. Jesus Christ, honey.
Hey,
you want to talk about betrayal.
And they were together 8 years.
How do you know?
Who knows if they still are? It was in the article.
How dare you! By the way, that one, for me, as a couple, I would never... There would be no expiration date on that one. There'd be no time where... If we were going out of town and we're taking a vacation, we're going to the airport, it'd be, honey, you want to call ahead, talk to the airport security? Tell them I'm trying to get a doobie into Mexico, or are we cool?
You want to call the IRS? Tell them I've been cheating on my taxes.
Yeah, I claimed 5 dependents. I only had 4. You want to go ahead and call
the
them?
You should never tell, no matter how much you love the person you're with, you got to keep certain things. Because then if you break up, you're like, I shouldn't have told them that I did this or that. Just try to.
I want to know
even
what.
Even if you're married, don't do certain things.
No.
Never say.
And for me, I take that to the extreme. Like, my wife will go, what time is it? And I go, I'm not going to tell you 10:25 and have you rub that in my face 5 years from now.
I don't know.
Now, I know the world of politics can be confusing for you, but yes. How do you feel about football?
I'm confused about football. By the way, I'm not one of those people that doesn't understand how people can like sports. I'm not that. I totally get it, you know. But I'm not. I don't follow it for whatever reason. But I feel like you have to break it to people slowly when I'm sitting next to them on the plane. Like, I can't. I feel embarrassed to go, hey, what about that game? You know what? I don't really follow any sports at all. Because then I go, I'm not really follow football.
Well, where are you from? You're from Philly,
I'm from,
right?
Philadelphia.
Yeah, see, that's tough. If you're from L.A., you can tell people you're not into sports, and they give you a pass. If you're from Boston, New York, Philly, Chicago, you're not going to get a pass. If you meet another guy from Chicago and you tell him you're not much into sports, he's not giving you a pass.
Yeah, they don't let you up on it. But I realize that most people like to talk, including me. So if you just nod a lot, they're really happy with that. You can say things like, what are you going to do?
Right.
You know, and they're very happy. Like, they don't even think for one second, hey, this guy doesn't know about sports.
So you can fake your way through an entire sports conversation.
If I need to, I can.
What are you going to do? Well, let's see if you can do it here.
All right. Well, yesterday was media day for the Super Bowl.
I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm. You know, a couple teams will be playing, and you know, the Patriots, right? You're a mm-hmm. fan of them.
Sure.
How mm-hmm. do you think their chances are, Todd?
You know what? You never know, but it looks good.
See?
Do you think there's any chance that the Giants can beat them?
You know what? I've thought the weirdest things in the past and strange things happen, so I just let it go.
Hey, that's why they play the game.
Yeah.
Are you concerned about Tom Brady's ankle injury?
I can't sleep.
What about the Giants? There's a flu
bug.
He's
a warrior. No, this is going to keep him away from the game.
You did? You heard about the flu? You think that's going to affect them?
I hope that they can just get out there and put their minds to it and, you know.
Look, at the end of the day, Todd Glass doesn't have a crystal ball.
Hey, I'm no sports expert.
That was pretty good. Well, yesterday, a female reporter from TV Azteca in Mexico City wore a wedding dress to media day. And she had this exchange with New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady.
So the woman in the wedding dress.
I'm in love with you.
Are you really?
Can you marry me, please?
Wow. I think that's the drunk lady.
I've never had a proposal.
What? I'm the real Miss Brady.
Get away.
One woman man.
Yeah, right. That's their news channel, TV Azteca. They have weather, sports, and traffic, and toss the chick in the volcano.
Pretty smart, though, to show up in a wedding dress.
Every quarter hour, they toss someone in a volcano.
That's how you know it's on the 15, the 30, the 45, right?
A guy in a copper loincloth just kills a virgin up on the top of pyramid, and then they go, hey, now back to you in sports. Yeah, it would be nice if the Giants could give the Pats a run. You see, I'm going to do what I do every year, which is I lose money to Jimmy's cousin Sal, who is a bookie. As a matter of fact, writing on Jimmy's show, which he can't do now because of the strike, was more of a hobby for him. It's really full-time bookie. And I get behind every year, but I have good credit with him. I don't have to pay him. And then the Super Bowl comes in and I go double or nothing.
Like, how much are you talking about?
I'm into him for $1,100.
Oh, geez.
And then I go double or nothing on the Super Bowl. So I always have to make that decision at the end of every year, and I'm not sure where I'm at. I think I'm going Giants this year because they're giving away 12.5, or they're getting 12.5, I should say. Sorry, go ahead, T.
Now, here's an entertainment story. That's more up your alley, right,
Todd?
Yes,
I'm very into the entertainment.
You remember Sean Young, the actress? She was in Stripes, Blade Runner, Wall Street.
Ugh, I'm so bad with actors and actresses, or actors, I should say.
Hot, brunette, really good looking.
Ace Ventura.
Swimming and perky. Yeah.
I can't think of an actor an actor.
Right.
And then I try to go, they were in that movie, and then I don't know the movie, so I get myself into this big, dumb, you know what I mean? Oh, what movie was that? With the bald guy. He used to be on the sitcom with Everybody Loves Raymond, but not Everybody Loves Raymond. The guy was like, all right, why don't I just shut up?
It's funny when you get eight deep into the thing.
Exactly.
And we actually have to describe. I saw her in, you know, those dark places with no windows and they have that big projector? What is that? I drove my thing. It's got wheels. It's got a horn and an internal combustion engine.
The Ford invented them a long time ago.
I remember saying goodbye to what's her name? I married her.
Yeah,
she. I said goodbye to her, and then I left my. It's a dwelling with a roof and a chimney.
Well, the last time she was in the news.
I live on this orb. It's made of earth, but the core is molten.
The guy who can never think of anything. I always give every person a name and have them be a character.
What's funny is halfway into my description, I get angry at the person that doesn't.
Oh, I get furious.
Don't
I'm like,
you
how could you not know?
From the third, bald guy. The bald guy.
He's been around forever.
Meanwhile, I'm the the guy who doesn't know anything and I'm yelling at the person. That's right.
Well, you may remember Sean Woods because she had issue with
Sean Young.
She had issue with James Woods.
Right.
And he accused her of stalking him. And then I think she wanted to play Catwoman. Batman movie.
Oh, so she showed up dressed up. Yes. Is that her?
You know
her. Yeah, she's the nutty one.
Well, I remember that. Because they always say, you know, in hindsight, those stories are good. Like, people go, how did you get the part? Well, you know, I went to the NBC lot every day. And then, yeah, in real life, if you do that, security's called. You know what I mean?
It's the other thing, too, right, where people go, wow, you landed the role of the lead on The Waterfront. Well, I didn't bathe for 2 days, right. And I wore wife beater in, and I didn't shave. And everyone goes, that's awesome. That's awesome. But sometimes they go, it's nuts. You know what's the equivalent of? It's about the same chances of when you're on the end of the date with a girl and you ask if you can kiss them. Half of them say, that's sweet. I love the fact that he asked. And the other half think, that's pathetic and weak. Why would you ask me? What do you want me to say? It's that same thing. When I hear these stories, I hear nuts, and then also hear very involved and very prepared.
Yeah. I always go with the, like when I go on commercial auditions, I get weirded out if the guy's wearing a, if it's for a fireman, he's wearing a fireman outfit. I'm like, all right, relax. I'd rather not get it than wear what you're wearing.
Yeah, I once auditioned for a commercial way back in the day, and I thought people don't take this as seriously as to dress in character. And then I looked two blocks down, you could see a woman dressed as Cleopatra.
Yeah.
She had a full headdress and the entire, you know, sandals and everything.
Wow. And sometimes I think, all right, good for her. But like, again, I'm not doing that.
Right.
So what did Sean Young
finally managed to get back in the papers this week after drunkenly disrupting the Directors Guild of America Awards on Saturday night in L.A. Here's what happened. Director Julian Schnabel, who was nominated for his movie The Diving Bell and the Butterfly, was at the podium to say a few words. Apparently, he took a little too long to compose his thoughts because an allegedly drunken Sean Young yelled out from the audience, quote, get on with it and move it on.
All right.
After figuring out who said it, Schnabel, the director, responded, have another cocktail. Then he offered to let Sean Young finish his speech for him.
Wow.
And he began to walk off stage. The crowd...
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
The crowd convinced him to stay, despite the fact that he was trying to get Sean to get her shine box. Sean Young was removed from the building. Witnesses say she took a swing at one of the guards who escorted her out. And yesterday, Sean Young announced that she is in rehab.
But, you know, the thing about chicks taking swings is they can do it because they know they're not going to cause any damage. It's like when it's like a 4-year-old can punch you as hard as they want because they're not going to do any damage unless they hit that sweet spot in the center of daddy. But she is clearly nuts. And although we're talking about it, right? I mean, it's a good thing overall. I mean, if you're there, he probably was waxing on too long. And who cares about that movie and who's seen that movie, right?
Maybe he did need to speed it up and move it along.
Yeah. That'll be a good one for me to describe in a few years. We can gangbang that one, Todd Glass. We'll be like, oh, man, did you hear about that crazy chick? She dressed up like Catwoman for he was the director, was nominated for the,
It's
a submarine with an air hose on it they lower down and a moth. Christ, what's the name of that bug?
I don't know what you're talking about.
She was the one from Blade Runner. And then she yelled at the guy.
What guy?
The movie was called The Diving Barn and the,
I don't even know what you're talking
and the butter
about.
Moth. God damn it. What
was the,
come on, you know the movie.
I don't know what movie you're talking about.
They won Golden Globe that year.
What year?
The Globe. It's a gold colored orbit.
What year?
It was in the four, five, or somewhere in the early part of this century. Come on. She was hot when she was younger.
I can't remember.
I love getting angry
at the other person. How can you not remember? He's the only 6'3" actor that's bald, and you can't remember?
I like when they're young, you can't remember when the whole argument started.
With you.
Because you couldn't remember the name of the movie.
Right. Get on with it. I will leave you with this. American Idol was in Omaha last night. We're going to break that all down later. But the good news is Paula Abdul has refilled her prescription. That was the news.
We should put her to sleep.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
Move it on.
It would be a great society where every 4 years you either made the cut or we put you to sleep. America votes.
Huh.
And look, whether you're a gardener or whether you're American Idol judge, we just all vote. Most people get to pass. But I feel like it would really keep people on their best behavior.
You want it to be pass-fail, not graded.
Not graded. It's not like, hey, Paul Abdul, you're getting a C-. No, no. You either get put to sleep.
Painlessly. Lethal injection. Nothing.
Nope.
Let him go out.
No
like
problem.
We do for animals.
Right.
Sometimes you love an animal, and when there's nothing else to do, you try everything you can, which we have. You don't just put a dog to sleep. You do everything in your power.
We destroy Paul Abdul. We call it destroy. We have to destroy animals. Destroy is one of those.
But you don't say that to the kids. You have to say to the kids, Paula Abdul took a nap.
That's right.
She's not waking up.
Now, if you don't want to take a nap in about 3.5 years, you will clean your room. Yeah. We started at 16. Every 4 years, everyone comes up for review, and that's it.
Contract renewal with the big guy.
Mm-hmm. Keeps everyone on the straight and narrow. All right. We'll take a quick break. Todd Glass is here. Todd, BigShotLive.com. He's also going to be on Jimmy Kimmel tonight. Hey, Todd, hang out. Because, we can't put people to sleep in this country yet, but I've come up with an idea that I like, which is my fantasy is to have a giant pterodactyl just come down from the sky, pick up the Paula Abduls of the world, and go off and drop them into a volcano. We never see them. We don't hear their screams. We just see their silhouette as they head toward the setting sun and the smoking volcano in the distance. That's my fantasy.
Usually would make a good animated cartoon.
It really
would,
yeah.
All these people, this pterodactyl, and it's a running show because you always have new people that need the pterodactyl comes down again.
Yeah, it'd be like that MTV celebrity fight thing where they got in the ring and the claymated whatever. Yeah, celebrity pterodactyl. I have a list of people I need tossed in the volcano.
Can people call us?
866-901-ADAM. Who do you want in? And it doesn't have to be a specific person. It could be this guy, like the 50-something-year-old guy with two earrings who claims he's straight.
The people with the highlights in their hair that are 40. Who are you fooling?
Right. The guy with the frosted tips. It could be that guy. Could be Ryan Seacrest, or could be that guy.
Should I say something really quick?
Yeah.
The Chelsea Handler show, and that doctor.
The blonde girl with the microphone.
Yeah, with the girl with the shoes. She used to do the thing where they commented on it. So there's a guy on there from that Dr. 90201, and I see him. He's got highlights in his hair. Look, some guys can pull that off in band. So if you're out there in your car and you pull it off, I'm talking about it doesn't look good. The highlights in his hair. Obviously, he's wearing like a little bit of makeup or eyeliner. He's got like alligator boots on. And I'm like, can you believe that people would look at this guy when having plastic surgery and go, look at him up and down, highlights on the hair, all that, and go, it sounds so over the top, but I'm not doing over the top. I'm going to let you take a knife and cut my face.
Yeah.
Really? That's who you're going to trust?
I'll be passed out for about 4 hours. Yeah. Go sick.
Yeah, here's a knife. Why are you letting me do it? Well, I take a look at you with your alligator boots and your highlights in your hair and you wear eyeliner and I trust your judgment.
I agree,
ripped jeans. Ripped jeans. The guy's 40. He's ripped all down. Ripped jeans at his knees.
It's the same thing I feel about the psychics, the fat 50-something-year-old chick with the press-on nails who she's a realtor, but she also is a psychic, too. And she's wearing way too much jewelry and smells of way too much Gina Tane. You're thinking, I want to sit in a car with you and drive all over town looking at houses. Yet somehow they exist.
Yes. Oh, by the way, speaking of those psychics, I wish this was a lie. When me and my friends were 18, my friend said those psychic places, they give you what can I say on the air?
Happy endings.
Happy endings. And I believed them because I figured, so we go in there and they start touching your hand and I'm like, oh, this is going to happen. And nothing happened. But we were so sure. He's like, they're like sort of pseudo.
Let me check the balls. Let's see. There's a warlock and a knight. All right. We need to take ourselves a break. 866-901-ADAM. Someone's going in the volcano. Todd Glass is in studio, and we'll do that next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Adam has a new pet. Terry the pterodactyl picks up blowhard celebrities and drops them into a volcano.
Ty Pennington.
My arch nemesis. Another guy I want to toss into the volcano, and Ty can be tossed in twice because of this. The 40-year-old guys who are walking around wearing the thermal shirts with the T-shirts over them.
Who do you think should be on Adam's pterodactyl list? Call 866-901-ADAM on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's another one, Todd Glass. Do you think any of our dad's friends when we were growing up would be wearing chokers?
What are chokers?
It's like that Ty Pennington. It's the necklace. It's literally a choker. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like a leather. If it gets wet and dries, you die.
Why all the hate?
If you go into it, if you go to the shower with this thing or the swimming pool with it, and then you dry out in the sun, it'll choke you.
Jeff Probst with the puka shell choker. You know, like that.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking. Sometimes I wonder if I'm crazy or my I would love to give lie detector tests. We talked about this once before, but for the weirdest things. Mm-hmm. And I bet half the time I'm right. I know half the time I'm going to be completely wrong, but here's one. You know people that jog when the light turns red and they jog in place?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think they're doing that to be cool. And I would love, under lie detector test, to go ask them.
I know, and I agree, too, because it's one of those things where I go, oh, I like to keep my muscles loose, I like to keep warm. You just covered 8 miles.
You're fine.
You're fine. As a matter of fact, I go out jogging 5 blocks and don't stop sweating until that time the next day.
Right.
It's not like the 18 seconds you're waiting for a thing, you got to run in a circle. You know what the porn equivalent to that jogging in place is? If you ever watch a porn movie where it's like one of those eight guys and one chick, the chick can only work on one guy at a time. The other seven guys will be not masturbating, just like that guy's not running,
but
they're doing the equivalent of that in place. I always think of the guy jogging by. It's like, I'm not exactly jogging right now, but if I hold still, I'll get cold.
So jogging in place guy, first one in the volcano.
Not first, but he's on there. Sometimes I think I'm crazy. I saw people that overstretch at the gym. Now, here's one. I might be wrong. But that's what I always said I liked about George Carlin. He doesn't care. Like, I worry, like, is it just me that thinks this? Because I don't want to go on stage. George Carlin will say things like, why has everyone got their bottles of water? You know what I say? Get a drink before you go home, you know. Or he's always, the girls would say, I've got a bad hair day. You know what? This is something I just realized I can't say on the radio. But I always worry if it's just me overstretching. I saw a guy at the mall eating an apple with a penknife. And I thought,
at the mall.
He was walking around. I thought he was like, I don't know the word, like, you know, cool. I'm like outdoor nature-y. I'm eating an apple with my penknife.
Oh, yeah. I will toss the guy who dresses like he's going on some sort of mountain biking expedition at the mall. You know, the guy's wearing the all-terrain waffle stomper tennis shoe hybrid, you know, hiking
boots.
This
is amazing.
And he's wearing the wool socks and he's wearing pants with 1,700 pockets in them and a bandana. You're in the mall. Yes, you drove a moped to the mall. Where exactly you think you're going?
Cut it out.
Grizzly Adams. Here's another guy. Here's a guy I stumbled onto yesterday just complaining in general after the show. Now, this one is a little more involved, and we'll get to your calls in 1 second. We have a lot of good ones lined up. But tell me if you can dig this guy. I noticed somewhere around my 40th birthday, my metabolism changed. I could no longer just eat whatever I wanted. If I did, I would pack on the weight, and it would keep going. It seemed to be infinite. I could put on 3-4 pounds a week, and I could just keep that going. So I have to watch what I eat. Now, I like to sit down and eat a steak and a potato and all that kind of stuff, but I can't do the 3 meals a day. We're talking about the guy from the 50s. Remember in the 50s, every guy would sit down at the lunch counter and finish his breakfast with a piece of pie and that kind of stuff. Now, once in a while, I go into the diner and I see the same guy. He's there every third time I'm there. He's skinny. He's 60-something years old. He has a pack of cigarettes in his pocket. He's usually wearing some kind of hat, and he's ordered himself the chicken fried steak with the gravy and the hash browns and the white toast buttered on both sides. He's jamming it up, but he's going to finish the whole thing off with a piece of key lime pie or a piece of warm apple pie. And to him, that's breakfast. And you know he eats that every single day when he goes to that diner, and God knows what this guy's probably eating brisket for lunch, and then for dinner he's having like turducken. And his thing, because he's from the 50s, his thing is like, hey, this is good, hard, stick to your ribs, the good, hearty, wholesome food. There's 5 billion greasy calories in that. Meanwhile, I'm just having the plain oatmeal with the half a grapefruit, and I'm packing the weight on. I feel like if I told this guy what he was eating was bad for him, he'd immediately balloon up to 300 pounds. But because he's from an era where he doesn't know, it's like when Wile E. Coyote runs off the end of the cliff but doesn't know it, and then somebody goes, hey, man, and he looks down, and then he goes, right down to the canyon floor. This guy who eats with impunity and is constantly 144 pounds. You know the guy?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
He doesn't work out. He's a smoker. I've never seen him in a pair of tennis shoes. He doesn't have sweatpants. It's not like he jogged over there. He's going to eat and then jog back to his apartment. He doesn't work out. He spends most of the time, he's a, like a truck driver or something. He eats crap all the time, and he finishes every meal with a slab of pie, yet he never puts on an ounce.
Let me add in his evil cousin, who can be female, that eats half the pie, half the piece of pie, and then just leaves the rest because they're full.
Don't even get me started. I have a pet peeve, and I know this is just mine, but I was on an airplane. I see this happen a lot where someone has a candy bar. If I open up a Reese's cup, I eat one, I eat the other.
Right.
It's that good. Nothing else is better than a Reese's cup.
True.
Not a book. And if the book is better than the Reese's cup, then throw out your Reese's cups.
If I opened up a pillowcase of Reese's cups, I would eat everything that was in the pillowcase.
Especially when they're perfect. You know, when they're not sun damaged from, you know. So she's reading her book, and she has a Kit Kat on the airplane, and she bends the wrapper down, or like a banana peel, and she takes a bite, and then she has it in her right hand, sort of up in the air, and she's holding and reading her book. Then 3 minutes later, she'll take another bite. I go, eat that goddamn Kit Kat. Are you shrimping me?
I'm with you on this, and I will tell you this.
Oh, by the way, can I say one more thing? In that case, I think she's posing. I know I'm nuts, but I think she might be like, oh, I'm enjoying my book,
Todd Glass.
And I'm trying to annoy me.
How about the guy who doesn't finish off the malt and or smoothie, who leaves 2.5 inches at the bottom of the cup, the guy who orders the chocolate malt with his burger and then walks away and leaves what's left in the metal cup?
Not me.
If I go out to dinner with that guy and that guy gets up to go away, I stick my tongue out like a gecko and I lick the bottom of the malt glass. Like I will not leave as long as there's one drop. And worse, booze. How about the person that orders a glass of wine, has three or four sips off it, and then it's like, all right, well, let's go back and rent the movie. It's like, what? That's when I feel like an alcoholic, because if I do it with two people, I will shoot both their glasses and then yell, I'm driving. All right, we have to take a break. Todd Glass is here. Todd, hang out, because we got to get on time.
With the recycling,
and we
got to
toss people into the volcano, and I got to talk about my Recyclarola. And I also got to tell you people, if you want to go see the official trailer for my movie, you can go to MySpace and go under the movie segment, The Hammer, and find it there. So you go to MySpace and you go to Hammer the Movie.
MySpace.com/TheHammerMovie.
Thank you. And check out the official trailer for the movie. It's finally out. All right, quick break. Todd Glass here. Your calls.
BigShotLive.com.
Volcano. Say it again slow.
Oh, BigShotLive.com.
And we'll be right back.
February 12th, the Adam Carolla Show broadcasts live from the Playboy Mansion.
Knight Rider.
For the NBC Knight Rider launch party. Go to 97.1 freefm.com or adamcarolla.com and register to win tickets. Thanks to NBC Knight Rider. Premiering on NBC February 17th, 9, 8 Central. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
My 26-year letter writing campaign finally paid off. Knight Rider coming back to television, everybody. And in such a way, 2 hours. They're having a 2-hour, don't call it a movie, it's an event.
An event.
2 hours, NBC, Knight Rider. We'll have the launch party at the Playboy Mansion on the 12th. Oh, man, wait till those hot 19-year-olds hear about Knight Rider.
Have you been to the Playboy Mansion, Todd?
I never have.
Well, come out and see us February 12th.
February 12th.
Yeah. Oh. Play your cards right. You'll be doing some night riding in the grotto. Knight Rider is going to be on television February 17th on NBC. Todd Glass is in studio. Big Shot Live and also on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight. BigShotLive.com. All right, we're talking about people that toss into the volcano. Do we have an intro for this? Oh.
Swooping down from the Arco Tower. It's Adam's pterodactyl. You can run, but you can't hide.
All right, let's start with Annette, who's 27, calling in from San Pedro. Annette?
Yo.
Who'd you like to toss in the volcano?
Rihanna, the pop singer.
Yeah. Singing about her umbrella.
Yeah.
Yeah,
wow.
God, what is up with that song? My toddler can do better.
It is. It's an obnoxious song, and worse, it's catchy, and it gets under you like some sort of bad jingle for a used car lot, and you hate that you're saying it, but you are.
Take the wheel of your automobile and swing on down to Ideal. That's in my head since third grade. Thank you.
Exactly.
If any model, any make, go see Cal.
Oh, God.
cozy cow.
Get on with it.
If you've got a craving for saving, if you've got a passion for fashion, then
move
take your wheel of your automobile.
Ryan, you remember Dublin, Berkeley, San Lorenzo, Cupertino,
oh,
San Jose.
Yeah. Yeah. Area lore.
Pete Ellis Dodge, Long Beach Freeway, Firestone. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'm asleep and my wife is like, where are you going? I'm going, Long Beach Freeway, Firestone exit, Southgate. And she's like, what? You're in your pajamas. Get out of the way. I'm buying a minivan.
Manchurian candidate.
It really is. It's unfair, by the way. There should be lawsuits against these places, because if you said to me, quick, what's your daughter's middle name? I'd be like, and then they go, all right, time's up. Quick, where's Pete Ellis Dodge? Long Beach Freeway, Friar's Zone Exit, Southgate. Really?
But do you know your daughter's middle name?
It's either Ava or Eva. When she turns 16, I'm taking her right out to Pete Ellis Dodge.
How do you get there?
Long Beach Freeway, Firestone Exit, Southgate.
I was at the ATM and a guy forgot his ATM number. I could tell, and I go, do you want to use my cell phone to call your, you know, somebody? He goes, I can't because it's my wife's birthday. Like his ATM thing.
Oh, right. He couldn't call his wife.
He couldn't ask his wife, what's your birthday?
Yeah, he couldn't go, what's your birthday? Yeah. I go, buddy, you're in a real,
you're
in a pickle.
You guys want to see my ATM card, by the way? Speaking of how retarded I am.
Yep. Wallet's out.
You're big on security.
Yeah, I see the number written where the signature is supposed to be on the back.
Yeah.
Yeah, guess whose ATM number that is.
You forget it?
Maybe not.
It's clearly written on the back.
Half the time I use the ATM, I'm drunk, so I'm impaired. You know what I mean?
Let me see that. No, I won't. I just want to see if it's really written. I know you're not lying.
Yeah, no, he's got a magic marker.
Well, are you afraid if you drop it, someone's going to think there's no way?
Here, let me explain the way I approach life.
Is that in code, or that's the actual
code? No, that's the actual number. Here's the way I approach life. The chances that I'm going to lose my wallet are pale in comparison to the chances I'm going to forget my ATM number. Do you know what I'm saying?
So which is more inconvenient?
Right. I could lose my wallet once every 3 years and it'd still be worth it having the number on.
Well, you sort of look at some things like I do. Like, I park wherever I want, whenever I want. And I'll tell you why. And I get tickets occasionally.
Right.
I park illegally, except if it's a Tozer. I park wherever I want, whenever I want. I leave my blinkers on everywhere. And I probably get $500 worth of tickets a year. But let's say I even got $1,000 worth of tickets a year. Somebody said to me, you know, there's a thing you can buy from the government. It's $1,000 a year. You park anywhere you want. Mm-hmm. I go, yeah, get me one. Does that make sense?
The same way about arriving to the airport early, which is if you fly to the East Coast, it takes you 5.5-6 hours. If you fly to the East Coast 8-10 times a year and you're one of these guys who wants to get to the airport 2 hours early, that's like flying there and back.
Right.
Twice. Versus missing an occasional flight, which means you get on the next flight and it takes an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it is. I've missed flights before. You get booked on the next one or another airline. It's an inconvenience, but it adds up to be
less
your entire life. Yes.
Yeah.
You want to talk about lazy? Here's how lazy I am. I used to do Loveline. Loveline, the radio show, was 2 hours a night, 5 nights a week. I worked 10 hours a week. They would say, why do you show up at 9:59 and a half every night? Why not show up at 9:30 with Dr. Drew? I would say, why? Because for every 4 days, it's like me working another shift. All right. I am pathetic. Let's talk to you. Let's see. Let's talk. Who do you like over here?
Six looks good.
Six. Let's talk to. Hey, Nathan.
Yeah.
What do you got? Who's going in the volcano?
I can't stand that butch lesbian that shows up to the local bar every Friday night, not even a pool hall, brings her own screw-together cube with a silky three-finger glove, and she's got a girlfriend that's hotter than any other bitch in there.
The Black Widow.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to include anybody who shows up for anything with their own junk. You know, the guy shows up at the bowling alley with a U-Haul worth of, you know, wrist braces and a ball cleaner. He's got three sets of shoes. He's like, yeah, the lanes are a little bit fast. I'm gonna change into my other shoes. And you're just standing there in the rental shoes with the chipped up ball. I don't like that guy. I don't like the guy. You guys tell me this. Tell me what you think of this. And by the way, thanks, Nathan. I believe that half the people get into half the sports for the junk, for the equipment. You ever see the cyclist? You ever see the guy driving around and he's got like Team Cinzano and he's wearing a one-piece unitard and he's got... I saw a guy the other day who not only had the cycling shoes that clipped into the shoe, but he had a little boot that went over them, a little aerodynamic boot that you put over, and he's wearing the super, super cool blade glasses and the super helmet and everything. I believe that guy only got into it
for the stuff.
You're going by with the Huffy and the cutoffs with the sack hanging out of the right leg there, and you're just going by in your flip-flops. I bet you could ride that guy into the ground, but he's in it because he got the cool outfit. Skiers are that way. Yeah. Mountain bike guys.
I saw a guy at Surface. You know, it's a restaurant and the other day, and I don't know why it shouldn't anger me, but he had also the side mirror. Connected to his hat or something.
In the mirror. Right.
And the guy was like 40 pounds overweight, and he was clicking around the store because he had those special shoes on.
Right. He got off his bike. Yeah. He has special shoes. Right.
Like, yeah. And I call it what I call, all right. That's what I would say when
we
all right.
We get what you're into. You're a cyclist.
All right.
You're better than we are.
Right.
We drove our car here. All right. We're fat, lazy, pasty Americans. Yes, we get it. You're wearing the stupid shoes with the cleats on it that you can't walk in, and you're wearing, and by the way, you think that guy's going to be in the Tour de France next year, or is he some fat accountant that wants to be seen?
Exactly.
All right. I'm trying to think, what are the other sports where people want to be seen in the outfit?
Baseball has a lot of accoutrements. Like if you're on an adult league, you show up, you got your rosin, your
mitt.
But at least
they're on the field playing.
Yeah, at least you're on the field. I will tell you a freaky thing. If you've ever gone to a serious tennis match, if you go to the U.S. Open, guys show up like somebody's going to point up in the stands and go, hey, Bert, sorry. Yeah, Yvonne Goolagong, turn an ankle. Get down here now. You brought a racket? Good. You got your racket? Yeah. Good. Come on down and start warming up. People go to the U.S. Open wearing tennis shorts, tree-torn shoes with the mini socks, a sweater, like a tennis sweater. I mean, they're literally everything.
A can of balls and a racket.
Knee brace on, sweatband. I mean, they dress up like they're getting into the game.
Did you ever think this? Like, it's, by the way, and I'm sure you feel the same way, I think. It's not that I think I'm hip or cooler than anybody. It's that I hope I don't do anything like that. And if I do, let me know. Like, we're making fun of all these people. Is there something I do that someone else is staring at me?
You bring up a Todd Glass, comedian Todd Glass. You bring up a very good point, and it's something I say all the time. This is why you need to surround yourself with a handful of a-holes you grew up with. I have my buddy Ray. I have a lot of my buddy Chris, Donnie. I have a lot of my brothers from the old neighborhood who not only won't hesitate to straighten me out if they see me starting to cultivate a retarded look, but enjoy it.
Right.
You know what I mean? If I go with my buddy Ray, hey, we're going out, and I'm wearing cowboy boots and two earrings, he's going to be like, look, I don't know what bar you're going to, but go back in, lose the earrings, put some sneakers on, and maybe we can go out, and you better hope I'm not going to get drunk and tell Donnie and Chris about this. See, celebrities and a lot of people, they leave the old neighborhood, and the next thing you know, you have Don Imus. He shows up one day with a cowboy hat, and they're like, hey, boss, looking good. Yeah, no, I like the look. And the next day, he's wearing a leather vest with a timepiece in it. And they're like, yeah, hey, boss. Then he has the cowboy boots. Then he's wearing a duster. Then he's wearing a six-shooter, and he's sitting on a bale of hay doing a radio show. And everyone's like, no, love the new look. He needed one guy. He needed one guy from his old neighborhood in New Jersey or wherever he grew up that went like, hey, Funky Town? No. Sorry. This, what are you, one of the village people? You look like, I don't know if it's gay or if you just look like fried hell, but lose the cowboy hat.
I know. I open up for David Spade, and he has like his same friends that he met like on the bus stop in third grade.
That's why he looks
exactly
normal.
Yeah, because they'll tell him. They'll be like, yeah, you need someone. Well, that's what answers my question. Like when I see a guy, I always say, there's no way he has a friend. There's no way that guy wearing that as a friend.
Well,
not as a real friend.
He has another friend with a ponytail and two earrings in his mid-40s.
I remember once I was on the beach, and this is exactly what you're saying, and I was with some friends, and I saw a guy wearing OP shorts. And I'm like, you know, not the worst thing in the world, but I'm like, what's that guy thinking with his OP shorts? And my friend goes, probably the same thing you're thinking with your Tom Cruise sunglasses. And I'm like, oh, these aren't in anymore. He goes, not for 5 years, Todd.
See?
I'm like, oh.
Go home and get your
That's
shine
an old
box.
Friend. A new friend would just say, looking good in those oversized Wayfarers from the Nagel painting, circa 1986. Let's see. Somebody wants to throw in, let's talk to Jamie. Jamie?
Jeannie.
Jeannie?
Yes.
Who do you want to toss in, Jeannie?
Any man that drives a minivan, because it totally makes him look like a pussy.
Really? Yeah, but what are you supposed to do if you don't have a ton of money and you have six kids?
I'm glad you went that route with that, Adam. Mm-hmm. Defending some poor guy listening to your show. You just made some guy feel like, thank God.
Yeah.
And plus, minivans today, and I don't own a minivan, but they're really not what they were 20 years ago.
Got some guy behind the wheel of an Aerostar heading to drop the kids off. Feels a little better about his life. Jamie, go ahead. I'll let you explain yourself.
Well, they could buy, the extended cab trucks.
Yeah,
as many kids in.
No, you can't take as many kids in extended cab truck as you
really
can in a minivan. Here's the deal.
You can get six in there. That's what I bought.
Yeah, if you butter them up and they get a running start.
She's got six kids and you're 41?
Four kids.
Four. Okay.
Four kids. But, Jamie, I like the cut of your jib. Are you one of the lesbians we were talking about earlier?
Oh, no.
Driving, what kind of extended cab pickup? You driving a dually?
Yeah, I got a Dodge Ram 3500.
Well, that's a little big.
One-ton dually.
You are driving a dually.
Yep.
That is more lesbian than, like, if Rosie O'Donnell was carrying my golf club, she would look more heterosexual than you behind
Rosie
the wheel
O'Donnell
of a Dodge dually.
Looks at the dually and says, that's a bit butch.
Me.
Right. What do you look like?
5'4", 125. Blonde hair, blue eyes.
And are you a rancher? Like, what would you possibly... let me explain what the dually is. The dually is the pickup truck that has the two rear wheels. Literally, it's a six-wheel vehicle. It has the two rear wheels and the huge fenders that then flare out over it. It's driven by guys who haul horses to farms and stuff.
Hips.
Yeah, it looks like it's really haunchy and has the dual... It's called a dually because it has dual rear wheels. Jamie?
Yes.
What do you do with your dually?
Pull my fifth wheel, and actually, I bought two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Can you translate?
She has a trailer that she
pulls
with her dually.
And she has two trailers. Do you pull both of them at the same time?
It's a wagon train.
Only on my better days. No, one's a welding rig, and one's for the family.
Wow, she needs a really manly man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she drives a dually.
It's got to be weird for the guy standing next to you at the bar. Not the guy you're talking to, but the guy who's just catching bits and pieces of your conversation with your girlfriend. Yeah, I was pulling a double trailer the other night, my dually. Guy's starting to get erection. Had my rig in the back. Hey. You got to grease up the knob pretty good or the hitch ain't going to land. It's like, whoa, what's going on? What's going on over here? Yeah, I the cab can hold six, but I say one at a time. Yeah, I got the extendo cab on the dually pulling a trailer.
What's this girl saying?
Normally, I don't hit up the grapevine, but once in a while, if I get drunk enough, I'll let a guy do that. Sure.
Been rear-ended up there?
Yeah, sure.
Some guy's telling his friend, don't talk to me.
Jamie?
Yes?
All right. Well, you're more man than I could ever dream of being.
Oh, Adam.
Good times. And what are you doing? Are you camping all the time?
She was so manly, and then she turned into very feminine at the end.
The primary reason was just to be able to have a vehicle that could hold all our boys. We had four boys.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And so it's a dual purpose.
All right.
It's not like we're traveling.
I understand.
All the time.
Jamie, promise me this, because I know who you are. I mean, I know your type. When one of your sons announces somewhere around his 19th birthday he's gay, please do not punish him the way I think you're going to.
Oh, no, never.
Okay. All right. You can be have a dually and be tolerant. All right. One more. One more person that's going in the volcano. I didn't agree with that minivan. Lou?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
29. Who's going in the volcano?
The guys who wear their girlfriend's jeans or skin-tight jeans.
Yes. Yes.
To have one of them working.
Look, let me explain something. I agree. I see guys dress this way all the time. Let me explain something. As a male, there's three things that never stop growing. Your ears, your nose, and your balls. Your balls never stop. They always talk about your nose and your ears. Your balls never stop growing. Your balls just keep gaining in mass. I do the water displacement one on mine about every 5 years, and it always displaces more water than it did in the previous application. Point is, your balls never stop growing. And the other thing that happens when you become a guy, they don't really tell you, but somewhere around your hips and your thighs and your ass, you get a little haunchy. That's why they invented Dockers. there's that thing where you're wearing the tight jeans all through your 20s, and all of a sudden it's like your 35th birthday, and you start pulling them on, and they start feeling confining and tight and weird, and there's no place for anything to go. How about the guys that are in their 40s that are just wearing the skin-tight jeans, and especially when they don't have the physique to pull it off? Like, yeah, you know, I can tell those jeans are really tight. Your belly's hanging over the top. And do you think we're just responding to tight jeans? Like when chicks go, I like a guy in tight jeans. They mean a chiseled 22-year-old in tight jeans, not a fat, balding, 40-something-year-old ponytail guy with the gut slopping over the waistband.
Oh, my God. I love, you know, if I gain even 10 pounds, I'm pulling my T-shirt or shirt. You know, one of the, how can you explain it on the air? I do the,
pull
the shirt.
You stretch it out, you hang it out.
You know, and before you leave the house, you're like, God, you even go, I ever see these people with a, literally, a bowling ball with the shirt just stretched around it? You're like, that's no way that can be comfortable.
I know. It's like, here's your whole thing. Here's, as a human being, we all have an Achilles heel, a weakness. Maybe we don't like the way our ass looks. Maybe the gut's getting a little big. Maybe look, here's the deal. You got a bald spot, so you wear a baseball cap. You know what I mean? That's what you should be doing as a human being. You ever see these people who seem to be accentuating their weaknesses? How about this? How about the chick? How about the chick who's overweight, not fat? Just overweight, and you see her at the mall, and she's wearing the blouse with the shoulder tight. It looks, she looks like an NFL lineman who's had his, who's had his jersey cinched up.
Right.
And she has the 19-inch flabby guns hanging out, and you're looking at her, and you're going, what? You have the arms of a 300-pound woman. You're 165 pounds. You're not particularly overweight. And if you wore a blouse or something was billowy, I wouldn't be judging, but I'm looking at a huge, I'm looking at Hulk Hogan's upper arms hanging out of a red blouse. Why buy the one that's cinched up? And then when you do, like, what?
I think the same thing, and I always think, how about when you think you could actually be unbelievably hot or gorgeous? You could have every guy staring at you at the mall if you would just dress a little different. Like, you happen to have a bigger arm, or you're... I see girls at the, on the beach sometimes, and like, you know what? I see girls in better shape, and you put a pair of boxer shorts over your bikini.
You don't want to wear a cap sleeve, is what you're talking about, if you're broad-shouldered, because it basically puts all the attention right there when you're at your widest.
And huge guns.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Maybe I'm just jealous. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Terry...
You'll live.
Run, Hollywood.
Run. Todd Glass, Big Shot Live is the name of the show. BigShotLive.com is where you go for more information. And Todd can also be seen tonight on
Jimmy Kimmel
Live. T?
Yes?
American Idol.
Yeah, they were in Omaha last night, and it was a pretty decent show. Did she make it?
And Paula sounds like she may be back on the meds.
I think she might be. Thank God.
Good times. Hey, Todd, great to see you.
Thank you very much, Adam.
Quick break. Back with a little American Idol recap for you. Being a huge show and American Idol being a huge show and Dance Wars being a huge show and all these singing and dancing amateur washed up celebrity shows. And I thought, this is where we're heading? Because if you would have talked to me in the year 2000, we're entering the new millennium. And you would have said, hey, Adam, tell me the future of TV. I would have said, that's pretty much, it'll be news, cage fighting, and porn. That'll be it.
Right.
This whole octagon thing, man, this is going to take off. And, of course, porn, well, that never goes out of style. And there's more networks, and there's more nudity, and there's more violence. And then eventually it'll take my two loves, and I'll combine them. No, my three, news, cage fighting, and porn. And you'll have some guy in a bad sport coat standing there with a microphone, and there'll be nude chicks beating the crap out of each other and humping in the octagon.
Mad props to the Hojo.
And if someone would have said to me, oh, no, you know, we're going to be close to 10 years from now. And I said, where? There's going to be an amateur singing competition. There's going to be a dancing show.
For true that, peeps.
There's going to be a C-list celebrity dancing show that's huge. There's going to be more singing and more dancing. That's going to be future. I'd be like... In a cage, though, right? In an octagon? Well, they're nude? No. They're going to be wearing frilly jumpsuits and singing and dancing to the oldies. I'd be like, no.
25 million people will watch John O'Hurley do the Paso Doble.
No. Okay. Yes. You need to be caught by a guy with a butterfly net and locked up in a padded room. That's never... It's all going to be cage fighting and pornography. Come on.
Remember Marie Osmond?
Mm-hmm.
25 million people will watch her now.
Was she in some sort of high-speed police chase? Because that'll be the other one. Cameras. Here, I thought it'd be cage fighting, pornography, and you know the in-camera car or the in-car camera right. they have? It'll all be that. It'll all just be drunken black guys in their underpants being wrestled to the ground as they take the softball bat out of them. And then what happened to Marie Osmond? She got in a high-speed chase.
On the
she
number
got
one
off
show,
her meds.
On the number one show in the country.
Uh-huh.
And here's what everyone tuned in
now,
to
now, let
see.
Me predict the name of the number one show.
Okay.
High-speed porn cage-fighting kings.
Slightly different.
Hmm?
It has Marie Osmond. Right, and everybody in the country is going to watch it and talk about it.
Okay, so who's she fighting?
She's not fighting. She's dancing. Not hip-hop dancing.
She's dancing.
To the death?
She's dancing and jabbing, and she's up on her toes before she lands the haymaker or chokes the guy out?
There's no violence at all.
Huh?
There's no violence at all. Marie Osmond...
is nude, right?
Has all of her clothes on. In fact,
she has her sequins. She has her dress pulled up. Who's she having sex with?
She's not. She has a partner.
Okay, I don't understand.
She has a partner that you've never heard of.
She has a partner. Okay, so he's a cop, and she's a cop, and he's the good partner, and she's the bad one. She's the streetwise one?
No, they're partners, and they spend a lot of time together preparing for this show, which sweeps the country. I mean, no show can beat it.
Okay.
So Marie Osmond and her partner.
All right.
She is in a beautiful, classy, sequined outfit.
Tag team. I get you. So she beats the crap out of some chick and then tags out, and then her tag team partner enters the octagon.
She beats people, but she beats them through her dancing.
Dancing on their face.
No, they do like the cha-cha and the tango and the paso doble.
So Scott Baio's in this?
Okay. Well, he'd love to be. He can't get in
Chachi.
This.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah,
Scott Baio would love to be on the show. He's
okay, well, what's the name of the show?
Dancing with the Stars.
What? And this is a top 50 show?
Okay, there's two episodes a week. One, they dance, and one, a couple gets eliminated.
What?
They are the number one and the number two shows every week.
Okay.
They beat everything.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No.
They beat everything.
No,
CSI,
look, I've seen the future.
House.
It's all cage fighting and pornography.
And ballroom dancing.
Oh,
I can't make this up.
Dear God, no. What? And this other show you speak of, where people sing?
Right, American Idol.
What do they do?
Okay, they go to small towns and they find people. And
the toughest guy in town, right?
Often not.
Barefisted, or are they wearing gloves?
Sometimes they wear gloves, but just as a fashion thing, they're singers. And
who
they're
sing
amateur.
While they're having sex in an octagon?
There's no sex. In fact, a lot of the contestants are underage. A lot of them are 16
and
17.
Okay, well, you know what? That's just sick. Because I don't want to live in that society where we're having sex while singing and fighting. When you're choking out someone who's underage while having sex with them and wearing a sequins dress in an octagon, I don't want to live in that world.
The minors are just singing. They're
mm-hmm.
just singing, and they're judged by three people in the industry.
Uh-huh.
Remember Paula Abdul? Cold-hearted snake.
Yeah, what happened? She died in a plane crash or something?
She's on... this American Idol.
Oh,
it is
as a cautionary tale. If you can't sing or dance, you could end up like this has been.
No,
I've seen her. She can't string together a sentence. She never could sing.
She's one
what
of
is
the
she like 45 now?
Yeah, she's probably.
You know what? Poor dear.
She's one.
I
want to
send her some money. Is she okay?
Here's what I'm going to tell you. She's one of the highest paid entertainers today. Paula Abdul.
She do a show called like Paula Abdul's Dunk Tank.
No.
Where she raffles off softballs to charity.
I'm trying to explain the singing contest where the kids sing.
Right.
She judges their singing.
But she can't sing.
Right. Right. I know. I know it's weird.
Okay. So she's... Who's she fighting again?
Do you remember Journey? The band Journey?
Yeah.
Don't Stop Believin'?
Right. They had a hit like 20 years ago. Right. We make fun of them
they
now.
They had
a
bass player.
Sure. Yeah.
Randy.
Yeah. It was the only black guy in the band.
Right. That guy.
What happened? Same plane as Paula Abdul?
No, he's also on this giant, huge hit show.
And now here's what could happen to you if you are in an 80s band and can't sing.
That's the weird thing. He's one of the judges, too. He and Paula Abdul judge the kids. And I'm telling you, no show can beat this show. It's
and
the most
is this
popular
like
show.
A public access kind of thing? Because
it's
if you
Fox.
Want to do your own show, I can't stop you.
It's on Fox. And basically, for the finales, the entire world shuts down and watches this. it's the hugest thing on television. Paula Abdul and that guy Randy from Journey and this British guy.
And they're all in the same cage?
They're just on stage. There's no violence. And kids sing
songs. Do they take turns having sex with her?
They don't have sex with her, although okay, they probably could.
Well, who dies at the end?
Well, that's the thing. It's a happy, celebratory ending where one of these kids wins.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't want to live in that world, okay? And I'm going to go ahead and call you a liar and a heretic at
Listen,
this point.
This show, American Idol, is a jugger.
Okay, right. Not. Yeah.
This has been a wonderful reenactment.
It's the year 2000, and 8 years from now, the number one and number two show are going to be an amateur singing competition and see list celebrities doing the merengue. Okay, right.
Nothing can beat that.
Okay. Say hi to the folks at the home for me, would you please?
You think I'm nuts.
What time is it? You need to take your meds, sweetie?
No, I'm telling you.
Hey, where's your Napoleon hat? You don't wear that indoors anymore?
In 2008.
Okay, sweetie.
In 2008.
Sweetie?
Yeah.
Randy,
dog pant. Remember Arsenio Hall, the dog pant thing?
Get in your spaceship and head back to your planet pie in the sky. I got to plan out my police video octagon porn channel. Okay?
America wants
this
dance.
Is where we shoot a cage match where people have sex in it from a dash-mounted police camera. Okay, sweetie?
Okay, but this...
Okay, let the boys handle the programming.
Get on with it.
All right, we need to take ourselves a break.
Speed it up.
We got to do an American Idol recap when we come back?
Yeah, it's actually the number one show in America.
Oh, lies, and more lies. We'll do a recap from this imaginary American Idol show when we come back.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, and now it's time to recap last night's American Idol.
And tell a story from the very first word that comes out of your mouth.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, T-Bone.
Yes?
Tell me what happened last night.
Well, I knew things were going to be good when Paula Abdul couldn't make the first half of the day because her plane didn't arrive or she missed her plane. I don't know. But Randy and Simon were there, and it turns out you don't really need all three, although it's nice.
Yeah. Look, what a gig. What a gig. What a gig. I don't know what she's getting. $5-6 million a year? Maybe more? And when I say a year, let's keep in mind, that's 4 months worth of work.
Right. Short season.
If you want to call it work.
How much do you think she makes off the videos, too? I see people holding the idol, how to sing. The ancillary must be as much as her salary. She gets off endorsements and QVC.
Oh.
Well, let's hear some of the singers.
All right.
Sarah Lady Morg Whitaker is a contestant and former pro wrestler. Let's meet her.
I used to be a professional wrestler.
Really?
Yes, I was Lady Morg. With the British accent and all the lovely goth clothes. I enjoy being the bad guy. I don't know why.
One of the greatest trademarks I had as Lady Morg was the laugh.
Yeah, that's good.
But, you know.
That'll kill wood.
Sure. Right.
You want to talk about a boner killer.
That would maybe you should have that on an MP3 in case you need to kill your wood.
Maybe I should. Maybe you should.
Right? Sometimes it's a bad time for it. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I'll put it on my little keychain MP3 player, and it'll be a situation once in a while you get caught in a bad situation as a guy. Like, you're getting a massage.
Yeah.
And the dude's like, okay, could you, just hang the towel over and lay down on the thing, you feel a little pressure and you go, uh-oh.
There's a market for this.
Oh, dear Lord. Yeah.
Every high school student who's afraid of getting called to do the math thing on the blackboard.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's wearing sweatpants that day.
That's the one.
And that thing, you just fire this baby up. How about this application? You know that move where the doctor says, okay, go ahead and get down your underpants and I'll be back in a moment. You get down your underpants, you're just sitting on that table and you look down and you're like, oh, God, no. Now... This is going to be awesome because in about 10 seconds, an old guy's going to come back and tell me to drop my underpants so we can check for hernia. And I'm going to be standing there with wood like some kind of just sick degenerate. But if I had
yes,
this.
Yes, sir.
Well, can Lady Morgue not only kill your wood, but sing?
You know what? All right, we'll get to that. But much more effective than the rape whistle.
Oh, to stop a rapist?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'm walking down a dark alley.
Guy comes out, does the stiletto move, puts it on your bra strap and cuts it.
I look for my pepper spray, but I don't have that.
No.
But I do have this.
And that rape whistle, all that does is alert more rapists. It's on. You know what I mean?
Now they know where to find
me.
You're in some alley. Before you're being raped by one guy, now you got a whole line of guys. Hey, guys, you hear the whistle?
That's yes. Where the raping is.
It's like it's what the triangle is to the cowboy. Time to eat.
Chow time?
Chow time. Hey, T's getting raped again. Let's go. Did you hear the whistle? But not the cackle. Hey, everyone, Teresa's getting raped. Dip, shotgun. Shotgun.
I am not going last again.
All right.
Lady Morgue, can she sing? I mean, maybe she's just got a crazy laugh.
I'm so happy, happy, oh, lucky me. Things just go my way, living every day. Things that bother you never bother me. Do, 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 do. Aha! Living in the sunlight, loving in the moonlight, having a wonderful time.
Well, now, here's my problem with the show, all in a nutshell, with Lady Morgue. She knows she can't sing. She's a pro wrestler. She's a performer.
Right.
So she wastes everyone's time.
Not interested.
Then we cut back to the looks on these idiots' faces. And they're like, oh, man, you can't sing. And then we have John and Sally McRitardo, who are sitting in the red states, going, I can't believe she thought she could sing. She can't sing. She knows she can't sing.
Sure, she's trying to get on because she knows she's a spectacle.
What good is that?
It's not. Now, here's Johnny Escamilla, and he's one of these people who you think he might actually think he can sing. He didn't seem delusional or autistic. He seemed to go right. He seemed to be in the area of just hoping he could sing, but you weren't sure. Anyway, he shows up with the gold jacket, and in the middle of meeting the judges, Paula hiccups.
My name's Johnny.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi, Johnny. What's going on, man?
Quite a bit.
Yeah? Like what? Tell me.
Well, auditioning for American Idol has been quite an experience. So
excuse me,
I saw
Johnny,
you disgusting little
I have the hiccups.
Cake.
I am so sorry.
Oh.
I don't know
you
if you saw it.
Water? You know, hold your breath for 60 seconds.
Yeah. Let's try 10 minutes. The lamppost she was leaning on almost
yeah.
fell over.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she lifted her lampshade up and she was like, huh? Did I hiccup?
Okay, you know the song Shout?
By the way.
Yeah.
That hiccup.
Yeah.
$40,000.
Just for the hiccup.
I've said it many times. Paula Abdul says nothing, and she says nothing two ways. There's no content, and then sometimes she literally says nothing.
Yeah.
They get back to her. Randy does his thing. Simon does his thing. And Paula goes, okay.
But she repeats it.
And
that's
she repeats.
She know.
Repeats her nothing.
I don't know.
Right. She has nothing to say, and then she says it twice. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And for that, well, she just earned $80,000. That hiccup was first off half of what she says during an episode.
Right.
And thus, since she's getting $300K an episode, you do the math.
Well, Johnny Escamilla is going to sing the song Shout. You
mm-hmm.
know how it has that intro?
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Doesn't it sound like he's going to be a really good singer?
Yeah.
I thought so, too.
He wasn't so good to you.
You know you make me want to kick my heels up and throw my hands up in. Throw my hand back in. Come on now. And don't forget to see. Well, don't forget to see. Yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah. See you. We'll see it right now, baby. Come on, come on. And say that you.
Yeah. The problem is you shouldn't sing a song that's made to be sung by eight guys.
Right.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Row, row, row your boat.
Row, row,
row, row, row, row. Gently, 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 gently. Yeah, there's five guys singing in that song,
right.
And he's trying to do all parts.
You know, tube and throat singers can harmonize with themselves inside their own throats, but that's about it. That's one guy singing. Okay. This was the most compelling moment of the entire show and probably of the season so far for me. There was a 21-year-old kid named Jason Rich from a small town. You know, they had some footage of him on a tractor and whatnot plowing corn.
Mm-hmm.
And a very good-looking kid. And you're thinking, well, they're doing a long package on him. He's probably really good. And the first words come out of his mouth, and they cut away to the judges, and they're spellbound. And then something goes wrong.
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart.
Shoot, I'm sorry.
Sorry, take your time. Blow it out.
Clock is ticking, Jason.
All right.
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart.
You got the lyric.
I'm just losing the words, guys.
You that nervous?
I'm that nervous.
Oh, what should we do?
Let me take a breath for a minute.
Come on, Jason, one more shot.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he finally remembers the words?
First off, you don't really even have to remember song lyrics. That's why you can do it when you're super high and super drunk, you know? Other jobs don't work that way. It's not like, oh, man, this guy used to drop acid before he got on the forklift every day. No, but Jim Morrison could be high as a kite out right on stage because that's the whole point. Song just gets into you. And the guy sung the song 1,000 times. He should just punch himself in the belly like he's a jukebox that's
you could
skipping.
You could just see him going through this anguish. And it's exactly like living on a nightmare where mm-hmm. you know you can do something, but you just can't do it in that moment.
Right.
Here he is trying to remember again.
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart without saying a word. You can light up the dark.
The narc?
I'm just loosening. Jeez.
When you say.
What?
When light up say, the night when you
they're
say.
They're giving him the lyrics.
Best. They know the word. They know the song, yeah.
Is this a popular song?
It's a song by.
I'm practicing nonstop. I got it.
It's a song by Alison Krauss called When You Say Nothing at All. You recognize the song.
Okay.
It was a big country hit.
All right.
No, there's nothing I can say now, though, Jason. You've just blown that.
It's amazing how you can speak right to my heart without saying a word. You can light up the dark. Try as I may, I could never explain what I hear when you don't say a thing. The smile on your face lets me know that you need me.
Mm-hmm. What are they going to do? He's got a great voice, but he obviously has nerves.
Well, the smell on her face let her know. I don't know the song, but
he lights
when the
up the narc?
When the narc is ablaze and the chick's face smells like she needs you, I mean, I'd say that's love.
Well, here's what they decided to do.
You know, I'm going to say yes. I like your voice.
I'm going to give you another shot. Get through to Hollywood.
Welcome to Hollywood, baby.
But Jason, I will never, ever give you that shot again, okay? Because if that was a live show, we're off the air. Anyway, you're through. Well done.
Mm.
They let him through.
All right.
He just had an attack of nerves.
Mm-hmm. All right. Good times. Hey, baby doll.
Yep.
John O'Hurley. Is going to, the voice is going to be calling the show in 1 second. Do you want to wrap it up?
That's it. Yeah, I want to talk to John O'Hurley. He has a lot of insights on your favorite Dancing with the Stars.
Okay, we need to talk off the air because I don't believe that that show exists. John O'Hurley, by the way, is in Spamalot.
Oh, yeah, in Vegas.
He's over at the Wynn Hotel. He also... Wait a minute. What's a game show that he hosts?
Family Feud.
Oh, he does Family Feud. Yeah, I was thinking of Richard Karn, who the old neighbor from whatever, but that's right. He took over for him. Big boots to fill. All right, John O'Hurley next on the Adam Carolla Show.
For 6 months.
Now, how many performances are you doing a week?
We do 7 shows a week, so it's a great schedule. I mean, it really is. And we've shortened the show. There isn't, there's no intermission to Spamalot, so we do a 90-minute show every night, so it's like a dream job.
Oh, that's good, because there's nothing worse than getting in that booze line and seeing the lights flick on and off in the lobby. The last play I saw, I got in the super long booze line. I ordered a glass of wine for myself and a glass of wine for my wife, and mm-hmm. they started flicking the light on and off in the lobby, which meant, hey, it's time to get back in the theater,
yep.
before the guy handed me the booze.
Oh,
so I never found my wife. but I'm too cheap to throw away booze. So I stood there like an alcoholic in front of the door because they wouldn't let you back in the theater. I shotgunned two glasses of Chardonnay in about 18 seconds while everyone looked at me.
And this is Vegas Chardonnay. It has a head on it.
That's right. And a tail, some would argue. So John, take us through the process of doing a play, Spamalot or any play. How does it work? How much prep do you get? Do they send you the script and tell you to memorize it and then show up for rehearsal, or
we worked for 6 weeks before we started to preview the show out here. So everybody, cast was assembled out here last January and a year ago, and we worked for 6 weeks, put this thing up in a rehearsal hall. We had Mike Nichols, the director, out, and Eric Idle was there, and everybody assembled, and we recreated Spamalot out here. We started previewing the show in March. We opened in April, and been running ever since. And we just named the number one show in Las Vegas by the Review Journal.
It is amazing. We were talking about the renaissance of, well, Dancing with the Stars, these singing shows, these dancing shows, these musicals. You know, 10 years ago, if you would have asked me the future of entertainment, I wouldn't have said musicals, singing, and dancing shows. It's kind of nice that there's still a place, and a pretty big place, for these things. I like the idea. You know, I would have thought Vegas would just be all nude gay guys on ice at this point.
That's right. Right off your lips, somebody's going to be doing nude gay guys on ice.
Yeah, or it'd be either that, or it'd be just boxing. You know, heavyweight boxing and nude gay guys on ice.
Or Cirque du Soleil brings you nude gay guys on ice.
Yeah, everything is
a Cirque du Soleil show.
I would watch. That's right.
John, when you got the call to do Dancing with the Stars, you were on the very first season. How did you think that show would do?
I knew it. They sent me the tapes from the BBC, because that's where the show incubated over there. And so I knew that it was going to be a hit. I just didn't know how big a hit. I mean, it was the show in London is beautiful to watch, and I just knew that if for a summer, you know, for a summer venue, it would be great television. I just didn't know it was going to be an institution. But on the same hand, you know, the first year, we were just like a ragtag militia out there. We didn't have a sense of competition at all. It was really just kind of everybody was trying not to fall down.
Right.
But now it's a very slick show. It's very well marketed. Everybody knows what the show means to their careers and everything. So it's a different beast right now.
John, as far as Spamalot goes, how original or true to the script do you play it, or do you have to play it? Like the New York version of it, is the show you guys are doing in Vegas a mirror image of that show, or does it vary from night to night or place to place?
It's tightly scripted, so there's no improvisation. Although they give me moments there where it isn't scripted, and I have a few moments on stage that I can't tell you why, because that would give away one of the big surprises in the show, and I know, Adam, you'd say, oh, my God, I should have sat with two glasses of Chardonnay in the hallway.
Right. Gay spoiler.
I can't spoil it. But there is room for improvisation for me in this show. But aside from that, it is a tightly scripted show. It is a 90-minute version of the two-hour show on Broadway. So we've shortened everything a little bit.
Trim
the
fat.
It works much better because that way there's no intermission. This is wonderful Monty Python skit humor. You laugh from the moment the conductor drops his baton to the curtain call. People come backstage, Adam, honest to God, and say their jaws hurt from laughing so hard.
Well, John O'Hurley, as far as Spamalot goes, now I've not seen the production, but I have seen The Holy Grail quite a few times. If I am very familiar with the movie, how much of the production Spamalot am I familiar with?
You are familiar with the plot line, although there are other moments of the crazy life of Monty Python that have been kind of thrown in. There's a little bit from Life of Brian that's in the show. Mm. There's some other moments. And then Eric Idle sat down and just wove it all together and just put this very, very funny. And the choreography is absolutely spectacular. And the lyrics are hysterical. So it's, if you know the plot line, you're fine. Even if you don't know anything about plot, and we have many people that have never heard of Monty Python before that come in, and they're, you know, flying blind on this, but they leave screaming laughing.
So, John, do you look forward to each show, or do you get burned out at a certain point?
No, I really love this show. I really do. Every night it's fun because I know the audience is going to go through a 90-minute journey of hysterics, and that's that's the greatest thing to know. I mean, I say this knowing that I was on Seinfeld as well. It is the funniest thing I've ever done.
Wow. Mm. High praise from a guy on arguably the best sitcom ever. Well, John, we'll be watching you in Spamalot. We'll also be watching you in... what's the show?
Family Feud.
Family Feud, that's right. I must say, I've never felt dumber than when I watch Family Feud, because the Hatfields are battling the McCoys, and the guy, you know, John gets up there, and he's like, coffee blank. And I'm like, coffee bird. Yes, coffee. And I can't think of anything. And meanwhile, the heavyset family with the junior high education is kicking my ass. I don't know if I'm freezing up, they're smarter than I am, or overestimated myself.
It's the deer in the headlight syndrome that you have. Just, you just know their tension. That's what it is. You're just responding to that.
Maybe that's
when you give somebody the compression of time and you put them on television, their brains turn to mush sometimes. We've had some of the funniest answers. I'll say, name something with claws. Christmas.
Technically,
Santa's right in there. Hey, John, mazel tov to you.
Thank you.
Next time we're in Vegas.
Oh, come see us. Come see us.
I would love to see you.
We're going to work that out, because we're going to be in Vegas,
yeah.
I think, like
28th of February?
Middle or end of next month. So I'd love to see me some spam a lot.
We're the number one show in Vegas now, and it took us a year to get there, but it's a great show.
Well, good job. John O'Hurley, everyone. Spam a lot. At the Wynn Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. T?
Yes?
Why don't you tee up the news? Give us a tease.
Well, there's a new study out, and it has found the most depressing age in your whole life. There's one year that's far worse than any other. I will tell you what that is. And this just in, Miley Cyrus in her underwear. Whoa. Yeah, I know. I'll tell you more about it.
Not attracted to her. I know I'm not supposed to be, because she's underage, but there's...
15.
15?
Yeah.
All right.
On the cusp.
I don't want to admit this, but...
Do you
when
need
I,
to hear the laugh to make the...
When I saw Hillary Duff when she was 15, I was like, I'm going to go ahead and get myself a calendar that goes 3 years ahead. I'm going to go ahead and check off her birthday. Miley Cyrus, not so much, but in her underpants, maybe. Hold on. I'm getting an erection. All right, it's gone.
All better.
Do you see?
Yeah, it works.
We'll take a break. You know, they make, you know, medications to achieve an erection is a $1 billion-a-year industry. What about the forgotten, I want to get rid of my erection?
Yeah, it's the opposite of Viagra.
Erection gets people in a lot of trouble.
Niagara.
Yeah.
Niagara. Nay.
It makes it
Agra.
Fall.
Yes.
Agra.
You're sitting there in a strip club. You've had a couple of highballs. There's that point. Jesus Christ, it's 2:15. I either get up and leave right now, or I go do something in the champagne room that's going to cost me $1,800. Fire up the Jeep. I'm heading home. Do you see what I'm saying?
Very effective. Agra.
Thank you. We'll take ourselves a quick break. News next.
And we're back.
As always, you're invited to come on along with us.
To the Adam Carolla Show.
T-Bone.
Yes.
Let's do the news, m'lady.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
John McCain won the Republican primary in Florida yesterday, taking 36% of the vote to Mitt Romney's 31%. Giuliani, who had focused all his attention on Florida, thinking a win would kickstart his campaign, came in a distant third.
You know what he's missing?
What?
His lucky comb-over.
You think that was his good luck charm?
Yeah, was his muse.
Now that it's gone, he doesn't have it.
No, he should have never put it on eBay for charity.
It's like a Samson thing.
Mm-hmm, right. That's right.
Well, there's a word that he's going to be dropping out.
It's his strength from his comb over.
His word is going to be dropping out. He's expected to withdraw formally later today. And
his wife, Rapunzel, lets her comb over down so he can get up to the tower.
He's expected to endorse McCain later today. John Edwards, the Democrat, dropped out earlier this morning.
Let me say this. There would be no such thing as a fairy tale that ever got off the ground if I was in the room.
Why?
Because the guy'd be pitching it to me, be my fairy tale writing partner.
Right.
I got an idea. Chick's named Rapunzel.
Right.
She lives up in a tower. And she has her hair. It's like 30 feet long.
I got it.
And she lays it out. And then the prince, he climbs up her hair. Okay. That's good. Now make me a chicken pot pie and shut up.
You're the third brother Grimm. You're the third brother Grimm.
I'm the cantankerous. I'm the one
saying brother Grimm.
I don't have any ideas of my own. I just shoot down other people's ideas. There's this princess. She eats a poison apple and she sleeps for her. Okay. Okay. That's enough. That's enough. And there's this, now the guy goes to town and he trades the cow for magic beans. Keep going. And he plants the beans into the ground. All right, middle brother Grimm.
No, they grow. It goes a beanstalk, but it's not a regular beanstalk. It grows in the sky.
Yeah. Hey, J.O., have you seen a beanstalk?
No, he climbs it through
He climbs a beanstalk? Jesus Christ, a caterpillar climbs a beanstalk. It falls over.
There's a giant up in the clouds.
Oh, he's at the top of the beanstalk? Oh, in the clouds. Well, I suppose he's living in a castle.
He eats people.
Okay, you know, give me that quill. Give me your felt hat. I'm going to hit you with it.
You can have my quill after I stab myself in the neck with it.
Anyone else have any lame ideas? No one's going to buy that crap.
Wait, I got one. Rumpelstiltskin. I forget.
You put Uncle Rumpel in and he will sue your ass for defamation. Sorry, go ahead, T.
Some may say that John McCain is having a fairy tale comeback. Ooh. You may remember that Chuck Norris called him old. He took a little heat for that. McCain is 71, and Chuck Norris, of course, supports Mike Huckabee, who is 52. Well, now Chuck Norris is sorry for having said that about one of our veterans.
Well, I learned something. I'm going to stick to facts and not opinions, and that was an opinion, and I called John and I apologized for that because I shouldn't have said an opinion. Now I stick to facts, like with Romney, who's a flip-flopper. I talk about that because that is a fact, and I just think that Romney, using all of his money, $80 million, to try to buy himself into the White House, I think is very wrong.
Mm-hmm. So he just called Ron. Who did he call the F word?
Very subtle.
The F word, yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Hey, ironic that the guy's claim to fame was Delta Force, a movie about going back to Vietnam and rescuing guys who are held captive over there. I mean, you're digging into a guy who spent a few tours in the Hanoi Hilton. Come on, whatever happened to, come on, buddy, we're going home. Huh?
Right.
What happened to that, Chuck Norris?
It's all about Huckabee now.
Was that Delta Force?
He was in Delta Force.
Yeah.
Was that the plot of Delta Force, though? That was the plane that got hijacked.
Well, Chuck Norris
had... In the top 100 things I wouldn't know.
Chuck Norris had to go back. I was looking at pre-op, board-op Bill's eyes rolling around like
you're
pinwheels.
You're on your own.
Sorry. It's between us. We got a Jewess and a gay guy. We're going to have to suss this one out.
Here we go.
Do you have a straight lifeline you could call?
All I remember is that there was a hijacking in Delta Force, and they threw a dead Marine off the plane.
Oh, that was Delta Force. Yeah, then what's the one where he went back to Vietnam to go, what? Bill knows?
It's called Missing in Action, MIA.
Oh, my God.
I think I saw that when I was still straight.
Jesus Christ.
That was when I was still straight.
The man just climbed out of a 3-cylinder Subaru Justy on his way back from Mr. Pfister, and he corrects us on a Chuck Norris movie. Bald Brian?
We really got some soul searching to do.
Yeah. I'm gonna pull your straight epaulettes off your members only jacket and slap you in the face with it. I'm throwing you out of the straight army.
Damn it.
I think we've all learned something about judging.
Yep.
It's good.
It's usually good, yes.
It can be funny without making fun of someone else.
Okay, they did a giant study of depression, anxiety, and life satisfaction. Mm-hmm. They studied more than 2 million people from 80 countries, and they were looking for, amongst other things, the most depressing age.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, in most countries, happiness goes in a U-shaped curve. You're happiest as a baby. You progressively get less and less happy. Then you bottom out at a certain age before the curve starts to go up again.
I think I know that age.
What is it?
The age you die? Is it one of those trick questions where they go,
no.
You know who our most important customer is? You. Is it one of those things?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, here's what I would say.
It starts to go back up, and then before you die, you're happy.
Well, you're really senile, and you don't know you're miserable.
Yeah, you're like a baby.
Here's the most depressing age. I've narrowed it down between 14 and 21, and I'm going to go younger. I got to say 15. You can't drive. You can barely F. You have bad skin. You feel like there's another human being living in your body that's trying to get out. You get no... As a guy, 15 is ridiculously bad. You feel awkward and uncomfortable. you're at your least attractive because your adult stuff is kicked in, but you don't know how to handle it. You don't know what to do with your funky hair. You don't know how to put makeup on. You don't know how to dress if you're a guy. I'm saying 15.
I have a guess. Maybe Teresa can probably attest to it. It's your fourth 29th year.
I wouldn't know.
How was number four? Better than number eight?
Well, 29 to me is the best age.
Mm-hmm.
It never gets old. I feel so comfortable at this age.
I'm going to go with 15.
That's a good guess. And obviously, there's probably a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
According to scientists, and this U-shaped curve, it's pinpointed, your depression peaks 44.
What?
Yeah. They don't know why.
Is that old you are, or is that next year?
I'm 43.
Oh, no.
God damn it.
Well, I don't think this would be true for you. Here's what the scientists say. They say...
Are you sure about this?
Yes, here's what they say. They say it's midlife. It's something deep.
It's too late. The damage is done.
It's beyond all the controls in our equation. It's a developing midlife low.
I'm staring down a long, dark corridor with 44 at the end of the hall, wearing a birthday hat with candles that have melted all over my crappy sheet cake.
Silver lining, though, a great year's worth of what can end up complaining about.
Yeah. Look out. I'm going to be extra miserable.
Well,
44?
Yeah, their best theory is that when you're 44... That's the moment you realize, and this isn't true for you, that's the moment you realize your dreams are not coming true.
Hmm?
No pirate astronaut.
Hmm. How dare you?
According to the scientist in charge, my best conjecture is that people eventually learn to quell their infeasible aspirations. He's British.
Mm-hmm.
They manage to get their expectations into line with what they can actually achieve. So that's when you realize you're settling.
But this is just suggesting that everyone is not going to realize their dreams?
I think most people don't.
Really?
I think so.
I mean, when I'm driving down the street and I see those guys that are in their 40s selling oranges, that's not what they thought they were born to do?
Maybe they thought they were going to be a fireman or a cop or
and when there's
star.
That super fat, lazy guy at the DMV is giving me the stink eye, you mean he doesn't want to be there?
That might have been his dream.
Mm.
It's highly likely that at 44 he will realize that he's never going to become the astronaut pilot.
Good times. 44?
Yeah.
God damn it.
I know.
There's no way I'm going to be nearly as miserable at 44 as I was at 15. No way. I didn't even have a license.
Right, I know. It'd be more terrible. You know who's having a horrible 15th year, at least right now, today?
Miley Cyrus.
Yes, you know her as Hannah Montana? And photos of her went all over the internet. In the photos, she's in a hotel room, and she's lifting up her tank top, and she's in her panties. And there was some conjecture as to whether these had been photoshopped. Well, now she's speaking out, and she's saying, basically, get over it. They're nothing bad, is her quote. Well, she says she was just fooling around in a hotel room.
Well, who took the picture?
Two girls were at a sleepover, so her friend took the picture. That's what she's saying, and she says, quote...
At the Riga Royal? What kind of sleepover are they having?
I don't know.
You're supposed to have a sleepover where you build a fake tent in your living room, and then your dad yells at you to shut the lights and quit cackling. No. Who's been eating his Hydrox?
To be honest, my friend Emily and I would take pictures of each other, but we weren't naked. We were just fooling around. I think that's a natural developmental thing.
Right.
We take pictures, like, in our bra.
Right.
It was a normal thing. So yeah. She's saying, quote, there was nothing wrong with it. It's two girls at a sleepover. And if all of a sudden that's bad, then what is the world coming to?
But the bad part is the part where it gets on the internet.
Yeah, that's the problem. When you're Miley Cyrus, you got to be careful with your digital images and otherwise.
Well, isn't she mad at her friend?
You'd think. I have no idea how these photos got out. I mean, in the olden days, you used to have to take your film to get developed.
Mm-hmm.
And then who knows who would get their grubby paws on it.
Something is wrong with her. She has too many teeth.
She does have big teeth.
No, not
toothy.
Not big. She has like too many.
Crammed
yeah, she's too many.
In her grill?
Yeah, there's something going on. You know, she may have gotten, like, there are people that don't have enough teeth.
Yeah.
Like, what's the end for the New York Giants?
Strahan.
Yeah, I kept saying Statham.
He's
in
missing
my
a
head.
Couple in the middle.
Yeah. She's got his teeth. She's got Strahan's tooth.
Oh, you know, a Tiki Barber got Michael Strahan's teeth, I think.
Oh, he
huge
got the extra.
Smile.
Yeah. He may have gotten. She got one and Tiki got the other. Right. I check it out. I'm not lying.
Well, she's saying the blonde girl in the photos with her is one of her best friends. And that everyone should just let it go.
All right, now what do you think about guys that seek this out on the internet? and they just say they're curious.
Well, I wanted to look at the photo when I heard about it. I looked it up.
Just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But if I was a guy and I was looking up a 15-year-old in the tank top with the panties, that's a tough one because she does look kind of grown up. She has a grown-up body.
And were you titillated at all seeing her in her underpants? And what kind of underpants are we talking about? Huh?
Yeah, take a look.
Oh, John Mark Carr.
You reached out for the picture, so you sort of sought it out.
Well, I wasn't going to look, but it's just her in the left-hand shot there?
Yeah, it's a weird angle. You see her pulling up her tank top. She has like some little girl panties.
Yeah, but nothing more than you'd see at the beach.
I want to ride the pony,
it's
daddy.
Not a deal.
Or less. But on the other hand, we shouldn't be seeking that out.
I know. I had a question for a second whether I should even do the story, because she's 15.
Well, here's my take. The internet is filled with real porn.
Yeah.
I don't need any substitutes.
But
you know what I mean?
But it's Hannah Montana.
But here's the whole thing. I don't know if you guys roll the way I roll, but if I'm not into you, I'm not into you, whether I know you or not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Someone goes, hey, man, have you seen the bootleg porn with Barbara Walters? Nope. But it's Barbara Walters from The View. Aren't you curious? Nope. I could picture what an old lady looks like getting humped, and I don't want to see it.
Not interested.
But everyone wanted to see Pam Anderson and Tommy Lee.
No.
No?
I never saw it.
I still haven't seen it. But I thought I was the only one.
I have not seen a lot. Well, but here's the deal. Pam Anderson is hot.
Yeah.
You see, if Pam Anderson was the receptionist at your office and someone said, hey, guess what? You know Sheila over there answering the phones? There's some bootleg porn of her. I would be just as excited seeing that as I would, maybe even more so in my own twisted way, than the celebrity doing it.
Here's an important question. Is the world safe for Craigslist hookers anymore? Here's what happened. Thank you. On Sunday night, a 54-year-old man in Shoreline, Washington, whose name has not been released, went on Craigslist for the same reason a lot of people do. To find himself a prostitute.
Get a vacuum.
Right. To get a golf ball.
That's right.
From Glenn. He found one, a 44-year-old woman whose name also has not been released. The prostitute made a house call. She went to the 54-year-old man's house. They talked a moment. And then he paid her up front, which I assume is how it generally goes.
I do half up front, half on delivery.
Okay, yeah, that seems fair.
Mm-hmm.
According to a police sergeant from the Kings County Sheriff's Office, before they did whatever they were going to do...
You have that weird exchange where you're in the park, and she's like, hand over the attaché case, and you're like, hand over the vagina.
Right.
And she's like, you give me the case. And I'm like, you give me the vagina. And she goes, if I give you the vagina, you may keep the case and run. And I said, well, if I give you the attaché case, you may take off. So we agree to get a third party involved. Sort of a broker.
Put the vagina in escrow.
I was going to say, it's a 30-day escrow. Holds the vagina, holds the attaché case. And if the plumbing checks out, then she gets the money.
Does that usually work out?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in this case...
It's a little embarrassing because my realtor, Karen, is a family friend.
Oh, that is awkward.
Yeah,
sets up a lucrative secondary market for temporary vaginas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they made the deal. There was no vaginal escrow, just a deal.
Mm.
But there was a misunderstanding. She wanted to make a cell phone call before the deed was done, and she walked toward the door to try to get better reception on her cell. Unfortunately for her, the John didn't realize that she was just making a call and thought she was trying to take off with his cash without providing services.
Mm.
So he lunged at her, and according to police reports, quote, the fight was on. During the fight, the man...
That's what says in the report.
Well, she tried to escape with the vagina.
The fight was on. She tried to escape with the vagina.
By the way,
the cash.
I'm sure the same guy was nursing a beer on his porch 2 weeks earlier when his nephews went running out in the street and didn't move a muscle. Hey, Keith, come on, bud. Hey, watch the van. Ah, Christ. That's a very uncomfortable phone call. All right, let me finish my beer, and then I got to call your mom.
Well, he sprang into action when that hooker was taken off with the vagina and the money.
She tried to steal the vagina. It's his.
Yeah. He had already paid for it. The fight was on, say the cops. During the fight, he bit off a chunk of the hooker's ear, about the size of a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
A quarter-sized chunk of ear.
Listen, you make love the way you make love. I'll make love the way I make love, and let's not judge.
Marv Albert.
Yeah.
Well, she managed to get away after that and run to the hospital where she called the police.
Mm.
They recovered the chunk of ear from the man's kitchen.
It's got to be a nice story for her and her kids when she gets home. Hey, Mom, what happened to your ear?
It's a long story.
What? What happened?
I can't hear you.
Oh, well, let me talk in your left ear. Mom.
Okay, what?
What happened to your ear?
Mommy went to work and it was a bad night. Please get Mommy a gin. Please.
But you said Mommy worked as one of Santa's helpers. Was her prom at the North Pole?
Santa got angry at Santa. Was drunk.
Santa drinks?
Santa sometimes drinks.
And I don't understand why I have to go to the North Pole in July. I thought Christmas is only, in the winter.
Since some other countries, Christmas is in July. I saw Santa. Santa was in a bad mood, and it was one of the reindeer. It jumped up and bit me.
How come Santa always pays you in rolls of 20?
Sometimes Santa gets mad at Mommy.
Mommy, why do you have to bring a boombox with an 80s mix in it to Santa's workshop?
What? My ear has not been reattached.
Okay.
Speaking to Mommy's other ear.
Okay, Mommy. I'm just, once you say hi to Santa, and I got a whole list next time he sees you. First on the list, tell him to quit biting Mommy's ear. Second, I want a wooden train.
I'm going to tell him tomorrow.
You ever do anything like a train?
I think Mommy's going to keep you off the internet.
Okay.
Now, the man was arrested for felony assault, and so far the prostitute hasn't been arrested or charged with anything. No word on whether her ear was actually reattached or not.
Good times.
Yeah, bad times for her. Good times for Ryan Seacrest. Here's why. The Victoria's Secret people, the executives and designers got together, they voted, and they think that Ryan Seacrest has the sexiest smile.
Why smile? You guys make underpants.
Yeah, well, every year they put out a list, what is sexy list?
Uh-huh.
And they've decided that he has the sexiest smile.
Oh, so you take that, and you take Matthew McConaughey's buns, and you do all that. You
some
make yourself
years.
You do a weird science, right?
Right, exactly. Uh-huh. Eva Mendez is the sexiest actress. Mm. Josh Holloway, who's Sawyer on ABC's Lost, is the sexiest beach body.
Mm-hmm. Dude, butt wine. Mm-hmm.
Posh Spice, who has three sons with Beckham, mm-hmm. is the sexiest mom.
Yeah, if you like orange stilts with fake boobs.
Guess
she's like an orange chopstick with a fake boob on it.
Two boobs.
Yeah.
Guess who's the sexiest funny man?
Oh, no.
If you say Dane Cook, I'm going to run and throw myself through that window.
Just say Dane Cook. I don't know if it is or not.
I'm scared. I don't. It is.
No.
Dane Cook.
No. But you got to look at the field, you know? Marty Feldman.
Right. Not that many hot comedians.
No. Me, Kimmel.
Timely.
Very timely, yeah. Soupy Sales isn't hot.
Soupy Sales, Marty Allen. These are very unattractive men. Gilbert Godfrey.
Red Fox.
Hey, Dan.
Hey.
What's happening?
What's going on, guys?
What's happening, Dan?
I called in this morning, but I had to go to work because I was waiting to get you guys to tell you that I saw the Hammers trailer on YouTube yesterday.
You're calling from DeKalb, Illinois.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Home of Barb Wire and Cindy Crawford.
Dan, give us your review. What did you think about the movie? Was it what you expected?
Now, Ace, take this in the spirit which it's intended, but mm-hmm. Going into it, I didn't think it was going to be high production. I didn't think it was going to be something that I'd be super interested in. But looking at it, I was very, very surprised. It looks like it's very well done, and it looks very funny. I can't wait for it to come out on DVD because you don't have any releases out here in Chicago.
We should work on a Chicago release. And, you know, I'll tell you how it's going to work. We're going to release in about 10 cities, L.A., New York, San Francisco, places like that.
Seattle,
Arizona, San Diego, places like that. And if it works out, then the next wave will be your Bostons and your Chicagos and places of that nature. So hopefully the second wave, if there is one, Dan. But I'm glad you thought it looked good. And I know when you say you're doing your own movie and you'll be in it and it's a low budget or lowish budget. Look, there's low budget movies that are 80 grand. This is not that. It's about $1 million.
Right. Everything with it, there was a voiceover guy with it. It seemed very, very professional. And I saw.
Did you get the guy?
Mm-hmm.
The trailer guy?
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Later, Hosen.
Aw.
Sorry, go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, sorry, it's freezing up here, and I'm shivering in my car. What was I talking
you
about?
You saw Windy City Heat.
I saw Windy City Heat, and compared to that, I think this movie is going to blow it away.
Well, Windy City Heat is funny, but it's a different movie. It's a sort of faux documentary or what have you. It's shot like a documentary, whereas this is a regular movie. And I know when people hear you did a movie and Ozzy's in it and so on and so forth, they just picture the worst. It's actually a pretty good movie. And you can see the trailer for The Hammer. It's a regular trailer, regular voiceover guy, graphics and the whole bit. It's like 2.5 minutes. You go to YouTube, or I should say you go to MySpace, and you just punch in Hammer. You can find it that way.
MySpace.com/The Hammer Movie.
Thanks, Bald Brian. Yeah. All right, let's take ourselves a break. Kurt Busch, NASCAR driver, drives the Miller Lite Mobile. He's going to be on our program next. So we'll talk racing with Kurt Busch next.
Adam Carolla Show.
It's been a battle of the beer cars late in the race with Kurt Busch and Dale Earnhardt Jr. Looks like the blue car is going to win that battle today. The Miller Lite car of Kurt Busch.
Kurt Busch takes the win at Pocono Raceway.
Now Miller Racing's Kurt Busch on the Adam Carolla Show.
Kurt Busch, who drives the Miller Lite Dodge Charger. Kurt?
Good morning, sir.
Good to speak to you.
Absolutely. It's good to be back on the show.
It's nice to have Dodge. I don't, I'm trying to think. I'm not an expert in NASCAR, but it seems like Dodge was there at the beginning and then fell off for a while and is now back with a vengeance.
It's pretty serious when you have the King Richard Petty as your main driver early on, and he won 200 races for Dodge.
In the STP car.
Back in the day. And then he kind of took a little heyday, a little break, and then now they're back. So it's cool to carry the banner.
Well, you came in fifth last season, correct?
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. I was seventh, but I like fifth even better.
And you're also going to be, well, I think we're going to see you when we go out to Vegas, correct? Yeah. I think you're going to come on the show.
Absolutely.
That's your hometown. You were born there, right?
Born and raised in Vegas.
And so, Kurt Busch, were you always into it? Did you think this is what you're going to be doing? Or as a young person, what did you think you'd be doing for a living?
You know, I think your parents make you go to school and you do all the this and the that and trying to get A's and B's. And then if you did get good grades, they'd let you race cars. And that's what I always did when I was racing on the weekends. But I don't know. I was into medicine. I was really trying to go to school to become a pharmacist. I know that sounds funny, but, you know, medicine.
Half the guys on the NASCAR track wanted to be pharmacists, Kurt. I mean, come on. It's a story's old as time.
I know. It's like a sensitive subject nowadays when you talk about it.
In a way, I could connect this because the sport's origins are in moonshine. And a lot of people would call that their medicine, so maybe this is just a logical extension of that. So you grew up in Vegas, and you're driving, start off driving go-karts and things like that?
Yeah, just, you know, it was a family fun atmosphere. Friday, Saturday night, we'd go out to the track, and I never knew it'd get this big. It's crazy, and, you know, it's like you're saying, you know, the little white lightning, the moonshine and all that. You got to figure out how to run from the cops, so maybe I got some good practice out here in Vegas.
Well, I got a good idea. Not that NASCAR needs my help, but this would be fun. You know when you go to the dog track and they have the rabbit out there up front? You guys should have a sheriff in the back of the pack. If there are 30 cars on the grid, he's 31st and he starts 200 yards back. And you got a guy that looks like Jackie Gleason. And, you know, I'm talking Circus Smoking the Bandit.
I'm with you.
And he's behind you the whole time with the rollers on. Now, if you lap him, you lap him. But either way, he's in your rear view the whole time. And then he takes it a step further. During your pit stops, he gets out of the car and he starts saying stuff like, "I'm going to barbecue your ass, son."
I mean, I have the goods on you now.
What we have here, son, is a failure to communicate.
And then, make sure as hell he didn't catch me. I'll tell you that.
He's like, "License and ID, Kurt Busch." And you do that thing where you flip open your sun visor, because that's where our parents thought it'd be a good idea to keep your license and ID, and you flip that to him. And then he walks around and he goes, "Son, looks like you got a tail light out." And you're like, "What? I didn't." And he hits it with his nightstick. "Well, son, you know, in Georgia, that's offense."
I think you got it going on.
Would you please pitch that to somebody? Or better yet, and you guys have every sponsor under the sun, right? You got the Viagra car now. You're driving the Miller Lite car. How about somebody who is sponsored by the Highway Patrol?
I think that they would have a
car. So there you are in your Miller Lite Dodge. And this guy in the black and white is drafting you. You're trading paint. He's bumping you. He's got his rollers on. It's great advertisement for the highway patrol or the cops, and it's a great visual. Especially for the drunk guy who comes back from the bathroom and is like, oh, hell, trooper's on the track. And he's going after Bush.
Kurt, I'm sure you're a very, very safe driver when you're off the track.
I try my best. It really doesn't work out that good, though.
You don't bump people or draft people when you're just going to the market?
No. Well, it just depends. I mean, if we're in a hurry, we got to get something done. If I got to pick up milk and eggs for my wife, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, speaking of, I know you just got engaged in 06. Do you have a good proposal story for me?
I am kind of a romantic. I don't know. I took her to Europe, and we were over there celebrating just being together for 2 years on the day, and I proposed to her in Prague, so we had a good one.
Wow. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'm trying to think how much, I couldn't imagine you walking through the streets of Paris, and I go, it is Kurt Busch from the NASCAR.
Do you get recognized over there?
No, that's the best part. You can just roll around over there like you know what you're doing.
Yeah, not a lot of love for the NASCAR folks over there in Europe. Probably more Formula One guys.
Yeah, I don't know why it hasn't caught on overseas. But we have all these open-wheel drivers coming into NASCAR this year, so it'll be interesting.
It's very American. I mean, it really is. It's probably everything they hate about Americans.
It's almost like soccer to us.
Right.
It's NASCAR to them.
Right. And you know what else they're into in Europe? They're into motorcycles quite a bit. And we're into the supercross stuff, but we're not really into the road stuff. They're huge into the road racing and the, the Can-Am bikes and stuff over there.
Yeah, the MotoGP it actually is. Yeah, those guys there are crazy.
Did you ever go with the two wheels, Kurt?
I'm always good on four.
Yeah. Yeah,
do the two wheels
seems,
too much.
Seems much safer, and your sport is safe now, right?
Well, we got all kinds of things that have been added on to our sport as far as safety implements over the years. I mean, Dale Sr. passed away in the Daytona 500 in 2001, and since then, our sport has taken a real reactive role in taking care of the drivers, building the track safer, building the car safer. So it's fun to be able to go out there and race and hammer down. Because you know that you're a little safer in these cars.
Not only you, but your crew. Because when you look at some of that old stuff, and I do watch Speed Channel, I'll see some of those old races from the 70s. The crew guys weren't wearing helmets. They weren't wearing fire retardant suits. They were wearing the coolest. They were wearing stuff that if it was on eBay today would fetch thousands of dollars. They're wearing like a Coke jumpsuit or like a Budweiser slacks and a jacket and stuff like that. The greatest outfits ever, but no safety whatsoever.
Dude, it was nuts on pit road back in the day. They didn't even have a speed limit, so the cars would be doing 150 20 feet away from you. So now they've got speed on pit road. You only can do 45 miles an hour. So
right, and there's some guy with pork chop sideburns who's wearing a Coca-Cola windbreaker who's running out there with a jack while other cars are flying by at 80 miles an hour.
And I feel like those pit crew guys had better nicknames in the day.
They did. They did, like Butch.
Yeah, you work Dutch. With any guy named Rusty or Dutch.
No, I don't have any of those on my team right now.
No.
We got Stretch.
Stretch.
Got,
now, is Stretch a short, fat guy? Because that's better.
No, he's the tall, skinny guy. Yeah, we got Tiny. He's the big guy.
Okay, all right. That's good.
That always fits.
At some point in this nation, we traded in the name Dutch for Seth. And that's when we started our downhill slide.
At that moment.
There were no Seths in the 40s and 50s, just a bunch of guys who let their fists do their talking named Dutch.
Kurt, tell us about the Miller Lite Rock and Racing event.
We got a huge promotion going on, Race Week in Vegas. So in my hometown, we're kicking off a big concert over at the Palms. You guys are familiar with the Palms.
Sure.
At the Pearl Theater. Bringing back the Mighty Mighty Boss Tone.
Oh, great guys.
I don't think they've been on stage in like 10 years. So.
Yeah, Dickie's a good friend of mine. He's the lead singer, and they broke up and had been a number of years, and they recently just got the band back together. And the Boss Tones are one of these bands. I like their music, but even if you don't know Boss Tones music, you'll have a great time because they have a full horn section. Dickie's a great front man, and there's one guy in the band that all he does his dance on stage.
What?
He just scores from one side of the stage to the other, and he gets paid the same as everyone else in the band. Just a dancer.
He's working too hard.
That's how fun that band is. So that is the date for that is Thursday. Oh, no, our broadcast is Thursday, February 29th. This is going to be Saturday, March 2nd. Yes?
It's right in there. You know, you got to come to Vegas. I think you're right on it. It's February 29th, 28th, somewhere. It's leap year, so we're all confused. And it's on Friday, I believe, right before race weekend
right.
out here in Vegas.
Yeah, that's right. Friday, March 1st.
And the race is the next day.
Race is the next day. Kurt, we'll see you when we get out to Vegas.
Absolutely.
Good times, my brother. We'll crack a Miller Lite. Why not?
Sounds like a deal.
Kurt Busch, everybody. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back to wrap it up. Well, what are you going to do? Plum out of time. I want to give some thanks where thanks are due. Todd Glass, comedian Todd Glass, Big Shot Live. It's an online talent search, bigshotlive.com.
Get on with it.
John O'Hurley, spam a lot at the Wynn Hotel and Casino, WynnLasVegas.com for tickets. Kurt Busch.
Speed it up and move it along.
Miller Lite, Rockin' Racing, Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. Oh, what a show. Friday, March 1st at the Palms Casino. You can go to AdamCarolla.com, win some tickets to the NBC Knight Rider Party at the Playboy Mansion. I think that's on the 12th, and then on the 17th, the big two-hour movie. Nay! TV show. Nay! No! Event! It's a two-hour event. That's right, Knight Rider. Rumbling back to the small screen. Sunday, February 17th on NBC. You can go to free2hd at AdamCarolla.com to hear the show. And you can go to MySpace and see the new Hammer, the movie trailer. Check that out. See Ozzy in all his glory. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo.
Is the world safe for Craigslist hookers anymore?